tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday morning. Alex Jones is out today. I'll be here for the first hour covering some of the breaking news over the weekend, including, of course, the war in Iran. And it ain't going well, folks. Trump is desperately trying to cobble together a coalition to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, and Europe is not interested, apparently. So we'll get into exactly why that is and what we can do about it and just how this entire gigantic debacle is going. It ain't good. It's not going well. And in fact, the effects are spilling over here in America. So actually in the next segment, we'll be showing you a report from Alex Jones that he filed this morning about what's going on with Tucker Carlson and Mark Levin and that side of things, that aspect of this conflict that we're in right now, as it appears as though Tucker Carlson is being investigated by the CIA for potential foreign involvement, in foreign interference, and there's rumors flying about this. Tucker Carlson put out a video yesterday. Donald Trump put out a tweet yesterday, a Truth Social, I guess I should say, about how we should all be nice to Mark Levin, how we shouldn't be mean to little Mark Levin because he keeps getting absolutely obliterated on Twitter. He keeps being ratioed by pretty much anybody that tries because his position, like the position of so many Mark Levin types out there, is deeply, deeply unpopular in general to the American public. So we'll get into like what the strategy is for them moving forward. I actually have a video from a National Review event. I'm not sure what the event was they're putting on, but this guy actually says, literally, we can't beat Tucker, we have to humiliate him. Which is kind of a crazy admission to make. I mean, they are literally saying, we cannot win arguments, so we have to manufacture social contagion, essentially. It's pretty brazen how they're trying to shut down any conversation that would lead the American people into not wanting a gigantic world war with Iran. So again, we got to cover all this. We got to cover the front here, as it were. We'll get into what exactly is happening with the Strait of Hormuz and how Trump is trying to open it and not finding a lot of help there. Now, and then we'll get into what's happening with Mark Levin. I'll just say, when it comes to Mark Levin and getting Donald Trump to come defend his tiny member, and that literally is what it's about. It's just, it's the craziest time of all world history. This is it. We're in it. So we're going to be arguing about Mark Levin's member size today. And I know I'm not kidding, but look, the only thing more pathetic than Mark Levin crawling like the teacher's pet to teacher to demand that the teacher step in and scold everybody. The only thing more pathetic than going to Donald Trump and begging him to come scold everybody making fun of you. The only thing more pathetic than that is when it doesn't work, is when people still make fun of you and make fun of you even more. See, they think that by getting Trump to enter into the conversation on their side, that it will bolster their side and make Trump supporters be like, oh, I guess we should be nice to Mark Levin. Oh, I guess we should stop making fun of Mark Levin's tiny penis because Trump said so. And it's like, no, the opposite's happening. The only thing that's happening is Trump is being discredited. Trump's not bringing any gravitas to the Mark Levin side of things. He is simply destroying his own reputation and ability to influence the American political world. So I'll be here with you for the first hour. We'll go to a report from Alex Jones in the beginning of the next segment. Then Gavin McGinnis takes over. Stuart Rhodes finishes out the show for us. Absolutely huge broadcast on the Alex Jones Show today. Don't go anywhere. TheAlexJonesStore.com is how you support us. And we'll be right back on the other side with that special report from Alex Jones.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon. AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and They're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Do things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, you need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new IDF unit, call it 8300, to lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage that executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission. This is the kind of ingenuity and inventiveness that have always been a hallmark of the State of Israel, that have always been a characteristic of the Jewish people. I know we can do it.
President Trump's coming to the defense of Mark Levin today on Truth Social is extremely troubling because of what he says there. First off, he implies that it's these evil, terrible people that aren't MAGA that are attacking him and that Trump's coming to his aid. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and others have been all over the conservative circuit, CPAC, their own shows, TVUSA, saying Tucker Carlson is non-MAGA, Alex Jones is non-MAGA, and listing other people that are supposed to be excommunicated. Well, let's just get one thing straight here. I was around a lot longer than Trump politically, and I've never been MAGA. I'm 1776. I've supported the aims of Make America Great Again so far, but now those definitions are changing. But what Trump's really doing here is attacking his critics. He doesn't want to say, don't attack me in the Iran war. He wants to say, leave Mark Levin alone. He's the litmus test when he's calling for censorship and all the rest of it, of people like Tucker Carlson and myself, or I will say that you're not part of our movement. Well, Trump, you don't have to worry about that. People are already very upset with you and already basically understanding that your legacy is being destroyed by you breaking your promise about this war and a lot of the other things you've done, like no real prosecutions of the deep state. So if you want to continue to self-inflict wounds on your own name and own political dynasty, I'm sad about that, but, you know, that's your life. You can do it. We're going to stay true to our populist, conservative, nationalist, Christian ideas that you wrote in on, but that we launched. I've been promoting these issues for 30-plus years. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and all your darlings were never Trumpers and attacked you. And I've seen Lindsey Graham, you know, say, screw Donald Trump. Donald Trump can go to hell. But that's who you've chosen now, and their worldview more and more. You're ignoring Kennedy, saying we're going to give glyphosate, you know, protection, Roundup, and so many other things you're starting to break with why we voted for you. Now, still, you're better than Democrats. So I don't hate you. I still promote the good things you do. But when you say, hey, if you criticize Mark Levin, that's a litmus test. You're by the wayside. You're a failure. You're in the dustbin of history. That's a neocon talking point of Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro. They're the ones that have almost no viewers or listeners anymore. They're the ones that are incredibly unpopular. And if you think taking on their political views is the right thing to do or is going to help you, then we can't stop you. But I've seen Mark Levin say a few months ago,
people like Tucker Carlson and the rest of you, you think you're going to stop us with your little podcast? We'll do anything it takes to blah, blah, blah. It's open threats. Now you have the head of the ADL a few days ago literally say, literally, we'll play it in a moment coming up here on my syndicated show. I'm also posting this clip to X. I'll post that clip under it. Greenblatt came out and said, you saw the great genius of us with the pagers and all these other operations killing our enemies. We need to do that in America in our eight-front war. So it's not just censorship and debanking and the ADL having meetings saying arrest me years ago. Now, oh, let's have criminal referrals for Tucker Carlson claiming because he's talking to Iranians during a war, which is a journalist's job, he's working for a foreign country, which they say is illegal. Well, Tucker isn't working for a foreign country, but you represent a foreign country, Israel. You have members of Congress wearing IDF uniforms during their votes. I mean, it's being flaunted. And so by attacking anybody as anti-Semitic that disagrees with total war with Iran, you guys have set the parameters now to basically define it as that. And you're only kind of conjuring the monster you claim that you fear. But the truth is, the head of the ADL also said in the same speech, we've never had more business. We've never had more support from the Jewish community. Yeah, because the policies of Netanyahu and others are incredibly unpopular and are creating a backlash. Then you call everybody anti-Semites, and now you've defined this new huge enemy you have, so you get more power, more control, more funds, and get to play victim more. Just like Mark Levin running to Trump with Sean Hannity. Oh, they're being mean to me. Oh, they're saying bad things. Myself, Tucker Carlson, we're not saying anything bad about you, other than the fact that you're trying to censor and control people and then run and play victim. And now you've called on your daddy Trump to come and say, ooh, you won't be in the cool kids anymore. You won't be able to sit at the cool table at lunch, you know, in junior high if you're not cool. Well, here's a newsflash. When I was in junior high, I was dating the high school girls. When I was in high school, I was dating college girls. I was never in the lunchroom because my college girlfriend was picking me up at lunch and we were pulling around the woods and having lunch, if you know what I mean. So it's the same analogy now. I don't want to be at your cool table, which is really the short bus of politics, okay? We're the avant-garde. We're the cutting edge. And I don't want to be at the table with Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, self-appointed control freak jokes, or Benjamin Netanyahu. And I'm not with the Muslims, and I'm not with Ilhan Omar, and I'm not with the Iranians. Got it? Not with that, and not with you. I'm an American, and I'm sick of this crap. And we have a lot of the Jewish lobby running around trying to censor Americans because what you're doing is unpopular, and your answer is to double down. That's not going to work. But if Trump wants to sign his political fortunes onto you, and that's what he thinks, and he thinks promoting Mark Levin is a litmus test, you better support him or I don't support you, good then. Make it cut and dry and clear. You already ran off Massey. You already ran off MTG. Now you're running off Tucker. Now you're running off most of your supporters. And if that's what you want to do, that's your business, buddy, because we brought you into power. We put you there. And I know you're a lame duck now. You see yourself as leaving. You made deals with the establishment. You're just trying to secure your family's own future. Whatever. I've got a job to do this to save this country. Trump, I believe you still love the nation. I believe you're not a bad person, but I can't sit here and watch you put out these outrageous statements. This is going to create just even bigger backlash against you and the good things you're doing in many ways. And we'll just embolden these ankle biters like Shapiro and Levin to call for more censorship of myself and others, which isn't going to work. And now criminal referrals by the CIA against Tucker Carlson. They did the same type of crap to me over and over again. And Trump's DOJ was investigating if stuff was done to me by the previous DOJ and CIA, which was declassified. Then Todd Blanche killed that investigation, killed the auto pen investigation. They're killing it all. Because you appointed a famous Democrat Party lawyer from the Southern District of New York, the belly of the beast, to be your main lawyer, he's really the head of the DOJ. So it's mistake after mistake after mistake. Or maybe it's not a mistake. Maybe you've decided to really join the Democrats. You're the one saying how wonderful Bill Clinton is all the time now. I mean, imagine, in fact, Mitch will probably say if we don't support Bill Clinton, we're not MAGA. Well, if Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin are MAGA, when they were always never MAGA, then it's used to trade MAGA, and that's your problem. So again, that's where we are. But I'll continue to fight the Democrats. They're open evil. They're open want for World War III with the Russians. They're open wish for open borders. Sexualization of our children. I'm going to continue to fight them. Okay? And I'm not going to get in some, you know, infight garbage here and make my life about even giving attention to Mark Levin and people like that that are jokes. You at 79 watching Fox News might not know that Mark Levin is a joke. You might not know that Ben Shapiro's numbers have been in the tank for years. You might not know that, okay? You might think running Elon Musk off was good. And who needs Elon when you've got Mark Levin, the great one? So just enjoy the political nursing home you live in. You kind of your waiting room to the rest of eternity. As for those of us that are still engaged, still informed, we're going to move forward with the America First agenda and 1776 worldwide. That's the facts. Here's the bottom line. Trump is saying you either declare your support and allegiance to Mark Levin against Israel, or you're not MAGA. That's what this is all about. Are you Israel first or America first? Israel sees a power vacuum with the Democrats falling apart. They really are trying to take over not just our policy, but our domestic policy. And this is just absolutely, totally, and completely insane. I hate watching Trump commit political suicide. He still does so much good, but Israel's forcing this litmus test. Netanyahu is. I don't know if they're blackmailing Trump or he just firmly believes in all this, but it's the worst possible political thing he could do. Mark Levin is as popular in MAGA as cancer is with the general public. It's just totally insane. So pledge allegiance to Mark Levin or you're a traitor. It's a water cold, baby. I kind of hurt my youngest daughter. Trying to take a little time off watching Rome burn. God bless you all.
There's Alex Jones giving us a dispatch from what qualifies for him as vacation, since he can never really disconnect with everything so insane right now. So there you go. You just got a full breakdown from Alex Jones of the Mark Levin situation. I would just say that it's not an accident that all of this is happening, that clearly this is on purpose. I think if you sort of just play out how things are going and how they go inevitably, if no change in trajectory is forced on the situation, I think it's pretty obvious that basically the Republican Party was taken over on purpose, not only as a vehicle to get the Iran war, as you had tons of leftists come over to the Republican Party in the 2024 campaign, specifically because of what was going on with Israel and knowing that Trump was the better vehicle for Israeli support than somebody like Kamala Harris. You had all of these lifelong Democrats coming over to the Republican Party for that topic alone. They don't really care if the Republican Party goes down because of that. Like, if we completely get obliterated in the midterms and never recover as a party, it doesn't actually matter that much to the people that are currently serving in the administration. They were Democrats for their entire lives. It's actually kind of a benefit for them. And I think the same thing is happening with America as a whole. I think going to war with Iran was never intended to end in a all-out victory for America. I think the intention was always a Pyrrhic victory, so-called, because the intention is to destroy Iran as a regional competitor for Israel, allow the Greater Israel Project to take place. And if America is massively weakened and destroyed through all of that, well, then that's just perfectly in line with everything as well. After all, if you've watched the Eighth Front War, the documentary that has almost nearly 20 million views on X at this point, you know that in that you have people saying America is the dying empire, Israel is the rising empire. So, okay, the Republican Party adopts this psychotic pro-Israel position. Our spokespeople are Laura Loomer and Mark Levin. Well, then the Republican Party is going to get completely obliterated and go away. And that'll be fine because then the Democrats can get in charge and they can flood the country with tens of millions of more foreigners and they can give backdoor citizenship to all the foreigners that came over here in the last couple of decades, destroy America completely. We can just go down and be utterly destroyed. And of course, we can be flooded with Muslims from the third world as well. Then America will not only collapse and be, South Africa 2.0, basically a shadow remnant of what we once were. But obviously the instance of anti-Semitism will massively rise, not only from Americans infuriated that our country is being destroyed over a conflict in the Middle East that we have nothing to do with and naturally are going to come to resent the foreign nation that got us into that conflict. And of course, the key operation being run here is saying that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Therefore, if you criticize the state of Israel or the actions of the Israeli government, that gets thrown into the anti-Semitism pile, you see those numbers go up, and then the Israelis that have started all of this can point to those numbers and say, look, American Jews, you gotta flee, you gotta get out of America now, you gotta come to Israel, bring your wealth with you, bring your investments with you, and we'll create this new rising empire as you drain and actually, you know, in your exit, kill the dying empire of America. Again, their words, not mine. So get mad at me all you want. That's literally the plan as stated and now being rolled out. So again, I just don't think it's an accident that the Republican Party was taken over by the Israel First wing, that the MAGA movement was colonized by the Israeli First interlopers, and is, as a consequence, the Republican Party will be kicked out of power, the Democrats will come in, America will be destroyed, and it's all perfectly in line with everything that we've shown you over the last couple years. Now, I understand Donald Trump is actually live right now doing a press conference for the Iran conflict, maybe giving us some updates. So I would like to go to that and see what he has to say. And again, we're going to cover sort of, no pun intended, but we'll cover the waterfront here on the other side and bring you an update of the weekend's worth of, war news and what's happening with the Strait of Hormuz. And then we do have some more stuff to say about not just Mark Levin and his tiny pecker, but also Tucker Carlson. I'm sorry, but that's literally what it's about. We'll get into it. But let's go to Donald Trump, President of the United States, as he's talking about the great debacle, as it's coming to be known, the war in Iran, a.k.a. the worst decision ever made by anybody. Let's go live now to Donald Trump.
I'll say a few words about what's happening in the Middle East. And if you have a couple of questions, we'll do that, and then we'll get on with our board meeting. So thank you very much for being here. We have a wonderful group of very, very smart, talented patriots at this table. Our powerful military campaign to end the threats posed by the Iranian regime continued in full force over the past few days. They have been literally obliterated. The Air Force is gone. The Navy is gone. Many, many ships have been sunk. They're warfighting ships, but I guess they didn't know how to use them. And anti-aircraft is decimated. Their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone. Other than that, they're doing quite well. They've been a terror for 47 years, and now I guess the world, through the United States, with the help of Israel, is doing what should have been done many years ago. Since the beginning of the conflict, we've struck more than 7,000 targets across Iran, and these have been mostly commercial and military targets. We've achieved a 90% reduction in their ballistic missile launches and a 95% reduction in drone attacks. The missiles are trickling in now at very low levels because they don't have too many missiles left. We've also attacked the manufacturing plants, where the places where they manufacture the missiles and the drones. And that's going on today. We just hit three of them today. And it's getting very hard for them to manufacture. More than 100 Iranian naval vessels have been sunk or destroyed over the last week and a half. That has to be some kind of a record. Additional strikes continue to launch from all directions every single hour. And as you know, we attacked Karg Island and knocked it literally, destroyed everything on the island except for the area where the oil is. I call it the pipes. We left the pipes. We didn't want to do that, but that we will do that. We can do that on 5 minutes' notice. It'll be over. But for purposes of someday rebuilding that country, I guess we did the right thing. But it may not stay that way. Just one simple word and the pipes will be gone too, but it'll take a long time to rebuild that. We are aggressively dismantling Iran's defense industrial base, and ability to rebuild its missiles and drone capability is getting down to close to zero. and we're hammering their capacity to threaten commercial shipping in the Strait of Hormuz with more than 30 mine-laying ships destroyed. We hit, to the best of our knowledge, all of their mine-laying ships. Now they can put them on other types of ships, I guess, and drop them in. But we don't know that any have even been dropped in. We're not sure that any have been. That's a big negative for them if they do it. It's a form of suicide. But we don't know that they have dropped any in. But we've hit all 30 of their ships and destroyed them. They're all at the bottom of the sea. We strongly encourage other nations whose economies depend on the Strait far more than ours. You know, we get less than 1% of our oil from the Strait, and some countries get much more. Japan gets 95%. China gets 90%. Many of the Europeans get quite a bit. South Korea gets 35%. So we want them to come and help us with the Strait. We have it in very good shape. The countries, I said, we've already taken care of Iran, but now, because of the fact literally a single terrorist can put something in the water or shoot something or shoot a missile, a small missile, and it's fairly close range because it is a tight area, and which is one of the reasons, you know, they've always used that as a weapon. Iran has always used that as an economic weapon. And it's not going to be able to be used very long. Numerous countries have told me they're on the way. Some are very enthusiastic about it, and some aren't. Some are countries that we've helped for many, many years. We've protected them from horrible outside sources, and they weren't that enthusiastic. And the level of enthusiasm, it matters to me. We have some countries where we have 45,000 soldiers, great soldiers, protecting them from harm's way. And we have done a great job. And when we want to know, do you have any minesweepers? Well, we'd rather not get involved, sir. I said, for 40 years we're protecting you and you don't want to get involved in something that is very minor. Very few shots going to be taken because they don't have many shots left. But they said, we'd rather not get involved. I just want the fake news media and everybody else to remember that that was said, because I've been a big critic of all of the protecting of countries, because I know that we'll protect them. And if we ever needed help, they won't be there for us. I've just known that for a long period of time, just like I knew about the Strait, that it would be a weapon, which I predicted a long time ago, predicted all of this stuff. You guys were very generous in that. I predicted all of it. I predicted Osama bin Laden would knock out the World Trade Center. I made that prediction a year before he did it. I said,
Trump. That's Alex Jones you're thinking of. No, I'm sorry. You're confusing yourself with Alex Jones, sir. Kind of very embarrassing. So I'll bring you the stories on the other side. Short commercial break here. Donald Trump is basically begging Europeans to help with the war effort in Iran, and he's just getting a cold shoulder from all of them universally. He's like, I predicted all of this. It's like, but then you did it. You knew that the Strait of Hormuz would be the noose around which America would commit suicide, and then you started the war. That doesn't make any sense. You knew the Europeans couldn't be counted on when it was time to call on them, but you're depending on them now. That doesn't make any sense either, Trump. Why are you predicting things and then just driving headlong into them? What?
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue Tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Our medical-grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultramethylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. I'll be with you for this segment, and then in the next hour, Gavin McGinnis will be taking over. Stuart Rhodes will be finishing out the show in the last 2 hours. We have a lot to cover in this hour, and we just heard Donald Trump repeat what he's been saying over the last few days, which is not great. It's not great. Basically, the Strait of Hormuz being closed is having and will continue to have catastrophic consequences for the world economy for as long as it remains closed. And it will remain closed for as long as Iran exists, as far as I can tell. The Strait of Hormuz does not require boats to guard. It doesn't require anything other than a position on the Iranian mainland and drones or laying mines. I mean, it's sort of the whole point of why this war was such a bad idea. One of many points as to why this entire conflict was ill-advised and really unwinnable in a lot of ways. Why we chose to do it, I guess, is the topic of conversation, the point of all of the speculation these days, since the answers that we're getting from the Trump administration are ever-changing, constantly contradictory, and just untrustworthy regardless. So, you know, they'll sort of throw anything at the wall, see what sticks, but nothing is sticking, and it's not going very well. So Trump is doing this thing now, and guys, I just put the video in. I think we can go to it. I got a couple videos here of Trump talking about trying to create a coalition to open up the Strait of Hormuz. Now, Iran is being kind of cheeky with this. I'm not sure how official the announcement was, but they essentially said, hey, everybody except for American and Israeli boats can use the strait. Everybody except for Israel and America. So, you know, whatever. Anybody else, any European ships or Asian ships, they can go through. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually real or if that will change the, you know, perspective of the insurance companies. The real reason that the, you know, strait is closed at this point is because the shipping companies won't cover, you know, your boat if you actually try to go through the strait. So this was Donald Trump, I believe yesterday, talking about this. And again, it's just kind of sad because Trump was such a powerful force for America, and it's all kind of coming apart. It's all just kind of spilling out and going down the gutter, and just it's all being wasted. And yet the bravado is still there and sort of the same style is being maintained. And so you can hear Trump here. He's trying to put a good face on it. But basically what's happening is that America is begging and kind of trying to like getting into the point where we're like blackmailing other countries into trying to get them to help us to fight Iran. And they're saying no. And they're just saying, no, we want nothing to do with this. The UK has basically said, this is not our fight. Germany has said we want nothing to do with this. NATO, which is basically us, but I guess out of our own overabundance of goodwill, we let all of the Europeans decide what the American military is going to do. We just call it NATO in that instance. Crazy. Again, we should really do a deep dive on the history of NATO at some point, because the whole point of it being created was to be an army for the UN. Anyway, they apparently, despite being funded by us 99% and basically just a auxiliary American army, NATO is not even helping us to open the strait. So it seems like everybody else in the world gets what a bad idea this was, except for Israel and America. Let's go to Donald Trump here being asked about this on the plane. Yeah, Keir Starmer revels in telling Trump he's on his own in Iran. Yeah. Trump pressures NATO, China to reopen Strait of Hormuz. Israel launches limited Lebanon ground operations. That's the other thing we need to get into today, is they're not limited ground operations. They are actually trying to ethnically cleanse like a quarter of Lebanon all the way up to the Litani River to make it a dead zone where no living thing exists. Of course, right now there's like 150 villages, including a bunch of Christian villages there, but they are being eradicated by this massive Zerg rush, gigantic invasion from Israel into Lebanon, where Israel is calling up 450,000 IDF reservists to try to storm into Lebanon, which is a bad idea to try to invade Lebanon, but that's the easy part. Then you have to try to hold it, and that's not going to go well. So just a bunch of suicidal activity, suicidal slash insanely murderous activity on every side here. And Donald Trump is flailing and begging Europe to help us, and they won't help us. And it's just humiliation piled upon humiliation. Let's go to Donald Trump being asked about this over the weekend.
Militarily, as far as I'm concerned, we've essentially defeated Iran. I guess they can have a little bit of fight back, but not much. Not much. We've taken out their air forces, you know. We've taken out their navy. We've taken out their air defense. There's no air defense whatsoever. We've taken out their leadership times two. Militarily, it's been amazing. We attacked Garg Island, and we left just the one little area standing.
few that would rather not get involved. Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Mertz, the leader of Germany, tells Trump, quote, "This is not NATO's war. The U.S. war against Iran has, quote, nothing to do with NATO," Germany said after Donald Trump demanded help from members of the military alliance. So again, it's just we're kind of in uncharted territory here. I'm not used to seeing Trump look so pathetic and weak, to be honest with you. We're just asking him for like just the smallest thing. That's just, like the smallest little favor, and like they won't do it, but they'll do it. Don't worry about it. They'll do it, but they aren't doing it though, are they? No, they're not. And, it just kind of sucks. But then again, I wouldn't either if I was, them. Frederick Merz has backpedaled significantly to distance himself as far as possible from Donald Trump. The U.S.'s president's demand that NATO allies help out the U.S. in its war in Iran has been given short shrift from Berlin. Quote, "This war has nothing to do with NATO," Mr. Merz's spokesperson declared emphatically. "It is not NATO's war. It's not our war. We did not start it," added Defense Minister Boris Pistorius later. What does Donald Trump expect from a handful or two handfuls of European frigates to achieve there in the Strait of Hormuz, which the powerful American Navy cannot manage alone? I mean, don't get me wrong. They should help us. I mean, it's like, but this is just how we get treated. This is just it over and over again. And honestly, I really can't blame them. What are we supposed to say? I mean, this was a stupid thing to do. The war has absolutely no achievable aims. I mean, at this point, and really from the beginning, except for the lies they said about the goals of this war, at this point, the stated goal of the war is just to degrade Iran until it's a failed state. That's it. There's bombing infrastructure, hoping that at a certain point, life becomes so unbearable they just start killing each other and just dissolve into civil war. I mean, that's it. That's the goal. So that's the thing about the Iran war. It's not even about whether we're winning or not, or whether we'll win or not. There is no winning this conflict. You understand? We have already lost. At this point, it's just a question of how much are we going to lose, by what, amount are we going to lose by. But we've basically already lost. I mean, there is no winning this, as far as I'm concerned. There is no outcome in which America benefits from any of this. Just not going to happen anytime soon or ever at all, as far as I'm concerned. As Wall Street Journal puts it, Trump knew the risk of Iran blocking the Strait of Hormuz. He still went to war, which was the press conference earlier, where he's like, "I predicted this. I knew they were going to do this." It's like, okay, but then you didn't do anything to stop them from doing it. What are you talking about? It's not like impressive that you knew that they were going to, beat you in this? That's okay. Then why did you start the conflict? Why are we doing this? What is the point of any of this? Pentagon deploys 2,500 Marines and USS Tripoli to the Middle East amid the Iran conflict. I'm sure we'll try to use that to get Karg Island, or something. But it's just, I mean, whatever. It's just a cluster cuss, as they say. There's absolutely nothing to benefit from. Israel says it plans for at least 3 more weeks of war as airstrikes pound Iran. And Trump is warning the NATO allies that they face a very bad future if they fail to help the U.S. and Iran. Not really, though. I think they'll be fine. So it's just, it's not getting any better. In a word, it's not getting any better. The war is not getting better. The support for war is not getting better. The attempts to prove that Netanyahu is actually alive are not getting any better either. That's been a big thing recently. And I got to be honest, I don't know what to make of it. On one hand, I think that Netanyahu would be crazy to, like, be anywhere that Iran could potentially strike him, knowing that they absolutely are hunting him with everything they've got. So I would think that he spent the last, like, couple of weeks 100 or more feet underground in steel-reinforced bunkers. But then again, he's putting out videos where he's going to coffee shops and hanging out on the beach. So it's like, okay, maybe they could have killed him. Maybe if he's just walking around going grabbing a latte in the middle of this world-ending conflict, crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. If you don't know what you're doing, neither does your enemy. See, the problem is the actual Sun Tzu, the actual author of The Art of War, put down a very, very simple kind of the Sun Tzu golden rule. Rule one of the rules of war is know your enemy and know yourselves. And I don't think Trump even tries to understand the Iranians. I really don't think he does. Why would you kill their supreme leader? Would be one question I'd have. If you understood the Iranian psychology, if you understood how your enemy would respond to that, why? Why would you do that exactly? Why would you think that Iran would be like Venezuela? What gave you that impression? The reason that we're in this is because we're failing to follow just like the most basic rules of war. And I mean that in every way, right? The Sun Tzu strategic rules that you have to follow, like know your enemy, give your enemy a method of escape or else they'll fight harder than ever. All this sort of stuff. Possible conditions for Iran to open the Strait of Hormuz per Tasnim, guaranteed lifting of sanctions. I was reading that. I want to see what that is. Is this new? Is this brand new? They just release demands for reopening the Strait. So, whatever. If y'all want to print that out and bring it in. But it's not just the, withdrawal. So this is the thing. It's like, okay, take the deal. Take the deal, Trump. Take the deal. Guaranteed lifting of sanctions, withdrawal of American bases, return of frozen assets, development of non-dollar trade. Take the deal, Trump. Pretend this was your plan the entire time. I think this might be the only option for Trump at this point, is to go full QAnon and pretend this was your strategy the entire time. Go, guys, we didn't want a repeat of Afghanistan. How are you going to exit the Middle East without leaving behind billions of dollars of very dangerous material? You trick the Iranians into blowing it all up for you. The idiots, the fools. We were going to leave the Middle East anyway, all right? We were going to leave behind the radar arrays. We were going to let them have all the missile batteries. But we decided to trick them into blowing them all up instead. The absolute idiots. It was going to be like Afghanistan. We were going to leave $80 billion worth of military equipment. But instead, we tricked Iran into starting a war so they would blow it all up for us. And then we can leave the Middle East totally unencumbered, clean and free and clear and out. Wouldn't that be great? This is it, Trump. This is your mission. This is your way out of this. Right now, you're seeing defeat on every side, and you think that your only option is to choose the least painful defeat. No, no, there's a way to claim victory out of all of this. First of all, it's to get a back channel to the Iranians and try to negotiate with them and go, look, just keep hitting Israel. Just don't hit Americans anymore. Stop hitting American stuff. We'll stop hitting your stuff. Let's just let Israel get pounded for a little while longer. Then I'll come out and say, guys, this was the plan the whole time. The Israelis have infiltrated the government and they wanted us to get into war with Iran. So I contacted Iran. We set this up. We tricked Israel. It was all a play against them. Aren't I smart? Now we're out of the Middle East. Look, you voted for me to pull us out of the Middle East. You didn't want America to be bogged down in the Middle East anymore. Guess what? We don't even have bases there anymore. They all got blown up. You're welcome. This is it. This is the way you seize victory from the jaws of defeat. Pretend it was a plan the entire time. It was QAnon, saving Israel for last. He's obviously not going to do that, but I'm kind of only half joking in that. But back to what I was saying about the rules of war. See, there's some rules that are strategic rules, like know your enemy, always give your enemy an escape route or else they fight even harder. You know, just simple things like that that Donald Trump and his advisors seem deliberately ignoring and working against, not taking into consideration when making their war plans. But then there's other rules of war, like you don't bomb the people you're negotiating with. Okay. Now that's also a strategy thing, believe it or not, because there's going to be a point in time that you're going to want to negotiate with an enemy. And if that enemy thinks I can't negotiate with those people, it's always just a trick to kill me, then they're not going to negotiate and you're going to be up a creek without a paddle, which is where we are right now. Because, and again, this is just sad because our government really is just like taking the Israeli tack of like, just total misinformation constantly about the war, which of course is always every government's going to do that, but there's like a particular, like, leaning into it that we're seeing now where they're just really blatantly saying the exact opposite of what reality is. And it's not good. It's not good because we're supposed to vote on politicians. The American people are supposed to have, you know, final say in what our government does. And in order to even possibly exercise that right, we have to actually know what our government's doing. And so, like, I don't really trust the casualty numbers. I don't really trust the statements made from Trump or Hegseth about, like, how successful all of this is. It could very well be true, but the pattern is that they've just been lying continuously. I mean, we just heard Trump say, oh, yeah, all these countries are coming to help us. There's not a single country helping us. The Trump administration came out and said, because Spain said, we're not going to let America use our country or our bases to fly, you know, attacks on Iran. And then there was a report that was like, oh, Spain changed its mind. They are allowing us. And Spain had to come out and be like, no, we did not change our mind. The Trump administration is lying about that. You are not allowed to fly out of our bases. So the Trump administration is in this mindset where they're like, they think they can just lie about things and that it will just manifest in reality. It's not how it works. Like, you can't just say, hey, Spain is now allowing us to use their bases. If it's not true, why are you saying that? It's not true. You can't just say, like, oh, all these European countries are sending us their ships to open the Strait of Hormuz. No, they're not. And you saying that doesn't make it so. What are we doing here? Why are we acting like we're in Hook or something? You can't just imagine things and have them become real. You have to tell the American people the truth sometimes so we know how things are going. Everything's being lied about, so it's hard to tell, like, what the hell's happening, but Tel Aviv is being bombed to smithereens. There's a lot of suspicious activity around Benjamin Netanyahu and his son and his brother, who I believe was killed in an airstrike. But again, it's almost impossible to tell because nothing is confirmed. Benjamin Netanyahu's son was a very prolific tweeter, tweeting something like 50 to 100 times a day right up until the 6th of March, when he just completely disappeared from X and hasn't been seen since. Netanyahu, there are rumors that he died. And then there was the first defense meeting in Israel where he was not present, inexplicably. Major meetings that he was supposed to be involved in got mysteriously canceled. There was also an Indian reporter that was following Netanyahu around trying to get an interview. And it was rumored and suspected that he had maybe accidentally kind of broadcast Netanyahu's location. Like, did a video being like, I'm here outside of the Netanyahu's hideout. And so there were rumors that, like, oh, that guy exposed Netanyahu's location and then Iran bombed him. But that was just a rumor. But now that journalist has been arrested by the Israeli police and we haven't heard from him. So there's, like, a lot of rumors about Netanyahu being dead. And then he puts out this video where he's, like, getting coffee, being like, yeah, I'm dying for a good cup of coffee. And it's like, you're in a war, dude. What are you talking about? Okay, like, I don't know if this is AI, but, like, I kind of hope it is. He's in, like, a life and death struggle. He just started World War III, destroying the entire globe. He's like, I have time to go make a cheesy video about the latte. It's like, I don't think you do, bro. I think you should be underground. Like, I just don't buy it. I don't know. I just don't buy it. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. Yeah, here you go. This is it. This is the official video. Let's try that again. Take two. Try that again, you six-fingered freak. Yeah, so the whole thing is like, okay, you have time to go get coffee. Why weren't you at the defensive meeting? Why weren't you at the defense thing? Sir, what is going on? Look, this whole thing is just a complete and utter mess. Trump is begging at NATO and the Europeans to try to get his help. Netanyahu might be dead. He might not. We don't know. Nobody knows. I don't believe the videos in the slightest. But then again, I wouldn't be surprised if he was alive. I wouldn't be surprised if he died 3 years ago and he's been an AI this whole time. Everything is a lie. Everything is retarded. Everything is insane. And the CIA is trying to throw Tucker Carlson in prison because he keeps humiliating Jewish people in conversation. It's just very upsetting to realize where we are in the year of our Lord 2026. It's absolutely pathetic. Now, That's about gonna do it for me here on the Alex Jones Show. I will be spending the next 3 hours collating all of this and preparing for an absolute bombshell broadcast on the War Room, 3 to 6 p.m. here on Infowars.com/show/band.video. But you know, we are not long for this world here at Infowars. But what that means is that we are frantically preparing for launch. We are preparing for the new thing to come. And it, of course, is the Alex Jones Network. And all I can say is that I'm very, very, very excited for all of you to find out what we're building and what we're working on, and that you can help us and contribute to this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We make it just unbelievably easy for you to support us. Not only do we have the best products in the world, we have some of our most popular products of all time back in stock for the first time in years. Things like iodine. Iodine has been launched once again. Probably our best-selling, most iconic product of all time was the Survival Shield X2. Now we have T3, an even more advanced formula, but with the same incredible nascent iodine, T3 Trifecta Iodine Tincture, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. The introductory price is 50% off for VIPs, 25% off for everybody else. It is going to sell out, so go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. Gavin McGinnis takes over on the other side.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth."
What do you think about the USA? What do you think about the USA?
What do I think about the USA? It should burn! Death to America!
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
Talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chance of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
We have all these proxy wars going on. What's happening in the Caribbean with Venezuela? What's happening with Iran? What's happening with Russia? And all these different allied forces fighting with each other. That's the definition of a world war. And that's what all of the mainline analysts are saying. This really is World War IV. That's what the Pentagon is actually calling it in the academic papers that the United States is fighting right now. China just cut off all rare earth mineral exports to anybody that works for the U.S. They control 95% of it, okay? The globalists allow them to be in positions like that.
So what happens if China successfully cuts off rare earth mineral supplies to the U.S. for a protracted period of time? Is this really the apocalypse for our war machine in many respects? Or is this all just sort of tutting by the Chinese in lieu of getting a good deal from us?
Yeah, I don't think the defense industry will get rare earths from now on. It's not a ban.
Wow.
Commercial industry.
Wow.
Yeah, commercial industries will get it. But you had a major car maker here go down. They shut down this a few months ago for 2 months. They didn't have the rare earth magnets from China. They got
That's
restarted,
right.
But like they literally had to get Trump on the phone to call China. So the defense industry won't get it. They're going to put export control. So China's a very controlled economy. You have to have licenses for importing, for exporting. They're going to make sure, okay, Ford, you're going to buy, or GM or whoever, you're going to buy 50,000 rare earth magnets that has X amount of grams of rare earth. That's all you're getting. So they're going to make sure this doesn't go into the U.S. defense supply chain. I think that's kind of a given. I don't think they're going to get any.
This is absolutely out of control.
As commander of U.S. Army Pacific, you saw this firsthand in Alaska. What did you see?
I took an intelligence briefing, and I was stunned to find out the amount of penetrations that had been happening at our bases up there by Chinese nationals that were in the United States. These individuals were going to the gate. Some of them were getting into the installations, and when they were getting into the installations, they would have cameras and unmanned aerial vehicles in the trunks of their cars. And these things were also happening off the installations, flying in and around our installations, in and around our training areas. We have an enormous training area up in Alaska. The Donley and Yukon training areas is probably the largest ground and airspace that we have in the United States Army, and it's in Alaska. And so Russia and China are serious about their activities up there. I think Russia has always been serious about it. I think China has woken up to its seriousness about it because of the gains that can be made. And then I also think that securing our northern flank from threats, be they missile or be they economic threats, where we don't have access of our reach over the Arctic Ocean, and that we get penetrated by adversaries in ways that would put the United States and the Western Hemisphere at risk.
So we're in the new world war, and that's what all the big think tanks have been saying for a couple of years. But now it's official. Okay, you've got all these different proxy wars going on. This is the new world war. Now, the CIA called the Cold War World War III. I agree with that term. This is really World War IV, and it's getting kinetic. It's economic, it's cultural, and it's incredibly dangerous. You'll be laying in your bed one night, or you'll be driving down the highway after work, and there'll be big flashes you see, and then 10 seconds later, your car is going to be overturned, probably on fire, and then life as you know it's over. You won't get back to your family. There'll be mass starvation and death, and there'll be a new literal dark age with enough dust in the atmosphere to cause a mini ice age, and they estimate 7 billion people will die in a nuclear war. There'll be maybe 500 million left, which is what these death cult people fetish all day long.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodged for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself.
Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue T-shirt, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back. I was going to take the week off, but I got to be honest, I don't trust my staff. I don't trust Gavin McInnes. I think he's a racist. I think he's an anti-Semite. I think he's a boob. I think he's an alcoholic. And I don't trust his sidekick, me.
I was going to say exactly that, Gavin McInnes.
Wait, you just called me Gavin McInnes, dude.
Oh, sorry, I did.
You wrecked it.
Fucking, we blew it.
It's like that Roman Polanski movie where they're fornicating in kinky ways and he has a pig mask on. And he says something like, you like that? And she goes, you ruined it! Pigs don't talk! Pigs, it's funny if certain phrases just stick with you. Now I saw that 25 years ago and every time I see a pig, I'm like, pigs don't talk! Welcome to, InfoWars. I'm guest hosting. My name is Gavin McInnes. If you're not familiar with me, well, you're wrong. I started Vice Media in 94. The Proud Boys, hipsters, gentrified Williamsburg. A lot of mini discoveries that I've noticed last night watching the Oscars. But, I've done a lot of stuff. I red pilled a generation, all right? And I pick my nose a lot. You got a problem with that? I was watching InfoWars up to this, thinking about Alex. Fascinating guy. He's always on, Alex. He's much more, I had dinner with him a few times, and when he's at like a steakhouse, he's much quieter. He talks about family a lot, and like, we should go to Hawaii. I got a great place there. And you'd think in Austin, and this is like, things have changed recently, but back when things were very bad, I would say 5 years ago, I was there with him in Austin walking around. They all love him. I've noticed that with Ann Coulter in New York City too. I think it's because wimps tend not to approach you if you're right wing or seen as right wing. So what the left does is when they see an Ann or an Alex or a me, they just go. I just want to go over and go, dude, if you were in the Pagans, and there was a hit out on me, I'd be pooping in my panties right now. But you're a milk toast vegan. So the glare holds no merit. Nothing. Sometimes it's a barf. A boomer, angry, retarded female. And they have even less oomph with their stares. One time a woman, I was in my driveway, shoveling my driveway, and she stared at me, stopped. She was probably 65 years old. 65 years old. And she stared at me and I looked back at her like, what are we doing here? Are we going to fight? And then she went like this. What? She wasn't even near me. She was like 30 feet away. So maybe if you were like just dozing off in front of the TV and someone came up from the side of your armchair and went, you might go, what the? But at the end of a snowy driveway? Anyway. So yeah, we do a show here. It's called Compound Censored because we merged with Compound Media. I'll try not to do a commercial for my network on someone else's, but it's about $10 a month. Use the promo code Gavin. Varies with various promo codes. A new show every day. Mondays are casual Mondays where we just shoot the crap. Tuesdays is serious. That's more of Harrison Smith, Iran stuff. For an hour and a half, 2 to 3:30. Wednesdays, Anthony Kumi and I of Opie and Anthony fame, the Shock Jock, we get together and just rap. Thursdays is a fun show. There's call-ins, there's emails, there's chats, and me and three cops and a felon watch police videos and comment on it. But the felon was banned recently for threatening my co-star here, Sean, and his wife. But I think I should lift that ban.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
Because you went to his bar last night or two nights ago.
A couple days ago, yeah.
So I can't white knight you.
Yeah.
If she's not traumatized anymore.
Fine with me.
So that's the kind of drama we have going on here. And then Fridays, we do the God Wheel. Wherein
I spin this, and he tells us what to talk about. Oh, it ended on Gav's choice.
Thanks, God.
So Harrison was being very serious there. We'll keep this light. I really want to talk about trans violence. Mass shootings are predominantly people of color, if you really want to get down to the statistics. The media narrative is that it's incels, which is not a thing. Incels are a thing. Incel mass shootings are not. Even Dylan Roof is the go-to one. He went to a white place first, a white school. His priorities were places without a gun, and he ended up at a black church. I know you have a picture of him with the Confederate flag. I got a picture of Billy Idol with the Confederate flag, okay? So I want to get into that. We'll see how much time we have. We've only got an hour together here. But I also want to cover what's happened recently. Oh, wait. Before we do that, I got a meeting with my tailor tonight. You may have noticed that I'm dressed incredibly well, even wearing a McInnis tartan tie. That's thanks to Nita Fashions. And so they're in New York, which is when I meet them. I call it, it's for cheap rich guys. And you go, you can get, contact them on their website, Nita Fashions, on their Instagram page, Nita Fashions, many ways to find them. And then you book an appointment and they'll be in your town. They'll be in Boston, then in DC. They come at least every 6 months, Atlanta, Houston, Dallas. And you get fitted, right? You sit there, you drink whiskey, it's all dudes. It's one of the last bastions of masculinity. Boxing gyms have been infiltrated. Barbershops have been infiltrated. What's left? Pickleball. Nope. Golf has been infiltrated. What are the...
Skiing's been infiltrated.
Skiing's been infiltrated. But I'm talking specifically females.
Oh, yeah.
What are men-only spaces? Dive bars have been infiltrated. So it's one of the few places where women, you just don't see them. And I don't think tailors like women. I've actually heard from these tailors that women just will not stop with the changes. They want little tweaks there.
Alterations,
that's the word. So we're in a rush here. I also have some exciting news. Anthony Cumia, Tommy Robinson has made it into America. He was on Russell Brand's podcast. I think he did Megyn Kelly, didn't he? He didn't make Joe Rogan. He did Tim Pool. And he's been doing talks and appearing on every podcast of note.
He did Alex Jones, right?
He did Alex Jones. Yeah. I said when I tweeted out Batman meets Robin. I mean, Batman meets Superman. And so we're doing a meet and greet with him here in New York. It's a place called the America First Warehouse on Long Island, Ronkonkoma. It's a great choice for someone like Tommy Robinson because it's all cops and firemen, and basically everyone is caring. Long Island is much better than Manhattan when it comes to gun laws, so it's not a place where you have to worry about getting attacked because the person will get lit up. So that's April 11th, and I'll check my Twitter page, Gavin_McInnis, very boomery thing to do, and that will have dates. I think tickets will go on sale tomorrow. We just settled it on the weekend. So that'll be fun. How was your weekend, Sean?
I had a good weekend. I went to a comedy show with Dom Selesky and his buddy, the guy there.
I thought he was my friend.
No, he's my friend. He shunned you because of the Proud Boys thing, and now he likes my thing, which is the Feels Like guys, where we only refer to the Feels Like temperature and not what it says.
So that's your club?
Yeah, it's my little club.
Huh. Yeah. It seems very limited.
Well,
I mean, the Proud Boys have, you know, they want less government. They want to venerate the entrepreneur, glorify the housewife. They're pro First Amendment, promote the Second Amendment, the end of shame, Western chauvinism. They don't watch porn, no self-gratification. That's for the ladies. So that's stop the military industrial complex in prisons, the prison industrial complex, I should say.
Well, we watch porn, and our porn is the Feels Like temperature.
Okay. Well, you sound more like you're competing with my other club, the Butt Boys.
Yep.
And the Butt Boys sounds gay, but it's a club where we prevent people butting in line, and our main battleground is the Isles of Plains.
You're right. It does sound gay.
When you get out of your seat, block the aisle, and make sure everyone... Old ladies, everyone gets off the plane. If you're in row 14, I want 0 to 14 empty. Unless they're severely handicapped and they want to wait till the plane's empty. But I want the plane empty before 15 goes.
I take it back. I like that club.
It's a great club.
Yeah.
Great club. Women want to join? No. Because you have to get ready. You have to be ready to throw down. I have a very exciting story. I had a Pat LaFrieda burger last night. You know when you have unbelievable meat and you can't stop thinking about it for days? Like it was, I can't go back. I'm not plugging Pat LaFrieda. I'm not involved in his brand, but wow. That's also what I did this weekend. And I'm kind of in a fight with my wife. You know why?
No, I don't.
I would like more companionship. And sober companionship. She's happy to hang if she's had a few wines, but we don't do date night. And I said to her, I go, how come the Girolas go out on date night once a week and we never do date nights? And you know what she said?
What?
She said, cause I'm a lazy bitch. Hmm. That was going to be my neutron bomb. Like Harrison Smith was talking about Sun Tzu's Art of War. One of the ones must be say the horrible thing about yourself that the other person was about to say, so they can't say anything. So I'm putting her in the doghouse, which is a dangerous, dangerous game, as all married men probably know. Because you're denying someone something that they don't necessarily need. It's like saying to Santa, I'm on strike, don't bother coming by my house this year.
Don't even bring the coal.
I'm not interested. I'll have milk and cookies if you have to come, but I don't want your stupid presents. And Santa's like, oh, really? Huh. And then, you know, you're sort of like, well, I mean, if you have to come by, you could drop something off. So I think I'm going to chicken out actually today. You don't have to, like, the beauty of marriage after 25 years too is you don't have to put all your cards on the table and say, like, I'm mad at you. You can just go pass the salt and then the whole thing's over. The silent treatment's over. I feel like this is very un-Alex Jones, isn't it?
Only two papers instead of like...
Well, it's also, every time I watch his show, I'm a cheap person. I'm Scottish. And we are cheaper than any other demographic. And that shocks a lot of people until they meet us. And it distracts me when I watch InfoWars because I just see color pictures. Like my wife will do that on a show. Oh, I printed out the tickets for like the Mets game and she's printed out an ad that's all black. And I'm like, that's $1,000 you just spent. We're broke. We have to remortgage the house. You switch it to black and white and you only print out the text. I even shrink the font to 9 points. So it doesn't take up too many pages. But Alex, full page color pictures. What is the budget for their ink? It must be 50% of their budget. Another thing about Alex too, when you're on his show is it's hard. Like you'll go, you always got your ear to the ground. You always know what's up. What do you think is going to be happening with the economy in the next 5 years with tariffs and without tariffs? Oh, wow. Yeah. Where to get started? I mean, lots of things. With tariffs, it'll be good. Without tariffs, it'll be bad. Can I get my questions in advance? I used to do Gutfeld a lot and you get your questions like 7 hours in advance. So you were a total expert by the time I went on at 3 in the morning. Anyway, I'm blethering on. Last night the Oscars was on and, Zach Eggers, he was a buddy of mine. He was in a comedy troupe called The Whitest Kids You Know. That was him. They gave us a tape, a VHS tape back in, I'm going to say like 2001. And it was a VHS tape duct taped to a 40. Back then, the 40 ounce beers, the thing college kids would do is you duct tape your hands to them. So you had to drink the whole thing to be free.
Edward 40 hands.
A what?
Edward 40 hands.
Edward 40 hands. I love that kind of stuff. I'm so excited my boy's off to college and he can relive my youth. And then they kept moving up. It was very popular. We didn't help them. That was one of the few cases. I mean, we wrote about them a little bit, but I can't take credit for Whitest Kids You Know. And then they got a gig to do a movie about a centerfold. And I think Trevor Moore, the brunette you saw in that picture, I think he goes to like meet his dream girl, and it was terrible and it bombed. And Hollywood is very fickle. So you'd think that would be the end. Trevor Moore died. He fell off a balcony drunk. And that's the end. But then Zach Eggers, when he was doing really well, he brought me around to a bunch of TV studios and said, Gavin wants to do a show on how-tos, how to fight a baby, how to fix this. It's like that's the vessel for the comedy, but it's a how-to show. It's not really a how-to show. Thank you, Zach. And then he wasn't that successful. He did the movie Savage, which is amazing, low-budget horror. It's kind of weird how the black chick goes back in to save the white guy that she doesn't know. But besides that, it's amazing. And now you're out of the bad books in Hollywood, which is almost impossible. That's a really huge accomplishment to get out of their bad books. It's like putting your wife in the doghouse. And then he did Weapons.
And Barbarian first. That was also pretty big.
Wait, am I confusing Savage with Barbarian?
I think so, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds
Barbarian,
right.
Barbarian, yeah, Barbarian.
Which was Barbarian? Was that the one where there's someone in the basement?
That was...
Click on it. Yeah. Sorry. Whoops. We're being corrected live.
That was pretty good.
I hope I don't get sued for $3.5 billion because I got something wrong. That's the way it works here on InfoWars, right? We've got 10 seconds left?
No, we actually have 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
Did I talk over a commercial
break?
Nope. Okay. I just heard a sound there. So he, not only did he win, but Conan O'Brien made the intro. The whole montage of the intro was based on the ending of Weapons, which is kind of a spoiler in many ways.
Yeah.
But let's have a brief look at that, starring the song Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Are we allowed to play songs on this network?
Oh, yeah, good point.
It's pretty funny.
All right, Conan, you look great, and the show's about to start, so time to hit the stage.
I feel like something's a little off.
Really?
Yeah.
Terrible
acting
at the Oscars.
Don't you think it's a bit much?
No.
Wait, shouldn't there be laughing?
Fine, so break a leg.
No, I think you used way too much.
Skip ahead.
Oh, sweetie, yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Oh, that's from the actual movie. What am I doing? They did a good job. You know, the problem with movies now is it's all LED lighting since like 2011. And now everything has this washed out look. So all you got to do to mimic a movie is wash out all the color in your clip and it'll look like you're in it. It's a race interruption. Anyway, that goes on. It's funny. I can't look at Conan O'Brien without thinking of that time he was mocking Trump for implying that Haiti is a bleep hole. So he went to Haiti to prove them wrong. Anderson Cooper hooked him up with some gay millionaire who has the only nice place there, probably to take advantage of the poor local boys. I don't know. He also went swimming, I think, in the part of the ocean that the Marriott owns. But yeah, you didn't do it. Go to 1-7. You cannot get worse in Haiti. I believe Port-au-Prince is the rape capital of the world. South Africa's running a close second, but has the highest crime ever. There's raw sewage. They haven't figured out how to deal with raw sewage yet, which is the rest of the world 150,000 years ago. And there's more garbage than a river in India. It is the dictionary definition of a bleep hole. Can you even walk there? Without getting AIDS? Isn't it run by a cannibal named Barbecue right now? Or has Barbecue been outvoted by another cannibal? Thank God they got the French out of there, huh? And ended slavery. It's like apartheid. Thank God South Africa was liberated.
from the evil white man.
By the way, speaking of sabotage, I was reading the Beastie Boys book this weekend. Did you know they made no money from License to Ill?
Oh, because of the samples, probably, right?
No.
No?
That's very expensive, too. I mean $0. Not like they had to pay a lot of royalties. License to Ill, Fight for Your Right to Party, all of that went to Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons. So their first album, as far as they know, as far as money goes, was Paul's Boutique and touring, of course.
Paul's Boutique famously has like 2,000 samples on it, too. So that's
right, so that probably wasn't, it didn't have a big net. So I think the reason Beastie Boys have money, I always assumed it was License to Ill, but it's Check Your Head and all that stuff. License, the other one, Ill Communication. So it was cool seeing that chick win, but I assume they're going to make Sinner's Best Picture, but that's a little too on the nose, and they knew that they'd be memed to oblivion, so they made it the Antifa movie, All Things Must Get Crushed or some garbage with like a intensely diverse cast and Leonardo DiCaprio. That's 1-8. The set was pretty cool, I gotta say.
One battle after another.
We should watch that live on the network, Sean.
Yeah, let's do it. Jim Downey's in it.
What?
Yep. I saw it in theaters. I was about to walk out, and then Jim Downey was in it. So I was like, well, I guess I'll stay.
Dude, Jim Downey is Forrest Gump.
Yeah, he is.
I just texted him the other day. Obviously he's in that new comedy, The Chair thing.
Chair Company.
He wrote every SNL sketch. But what the hell did I see him in recently? Hold on, now I'm downloading it. Downloading it, it's coming up. This is not good TV. Okay. I'll find that out in a second. I hate how your phone doesn't save your text pictures anymore. My buddy Mitch won. I discovered this guy back in the early 90s. Mitch Cesarbowski. And it's weird when you haven't seen someone in 30 years. You're like, I recognize that guy, but that must be his dad because that's an old guy. And then you realize, no. Those two dudes have been doing stop motion animation. They used to do a thing. They were called Clyde Henry Productions and they did a little clay comic with us called Yuri Gagarin back in Vice Media days. They've been doing the exact same thing for 30 years. Stop motion animation. In like a real, you know, Russian way. Gotta hand it to them, man. And this is Montreal. But the beauty of the West is no matter how stupid your vocation is, like Howard Stern, or even Alex Jones. I mean, no one thought that would go anywhere, but he just plugged away at it and turned it into a multi-billion-dollar business. Put your nose to the grindstone and you will win. And when we come back, trans violence will be dominating the screen.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy Ultra Methylene Blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theAlexShowStore.com. We have a new product in at theAlexShowStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexShowStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Sometimes I feel... I got to make a correction here, folks. I don't know. I said I don't like Gavin McInnes. I said he's inaccurate, and he'd already made about 100 mistakes in that opening segment, which seemed to be wandering around talking about Hollywood. This is a serious news network. We don't really care who won Best Picture. My God. But Mr. McKinnon suggested that I only owed $3.75 billion. The actual fee, as reported in Bloomberg, it's hard to find the ticket all down, was $2.7 trillion. Now, I want to reach out to every single American here, and I know they're $6,000 in debt with credit cards, but if they can put together $8,000 each, we might be able to get a handle on my lawsuit. Please, so please reach deep in your pockets. $8,000. I'm not joking.
It was the, I didn't realize that. I was corrected during the break. The initial price, Sandy Hook families seek $2.7 trillion. Now, I ran the numbers on my little calculator. That's $8,000 per American. Babies, old ladies, illegals, every person that's walking around in this America shape with Alaska and Puerto Rico thrown in for good measure have to pay $8,000 to pay off $2.7 trillion. The average American credit card debt is $6,000. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Okay. And every time something like that happens, I go, okay, so those are the rules now? All right. Well, then... what about weapons of mass destruction? What about the Russian dossier? If everyone's paying trillions of dollars for their mistakes, then we got to even the playing field here. CBS, editing your interview with Kamala Harris. How many billions is that? I kind of like that Trump is suing some of these people for these lies. So I don't know if I'll be able to cram this into the next segment. We've got about 24 minutes, but... as I said earlier, the general pattern with mass shootings is black and Hispanics. But there is a new trend and it's getting especially bad, and it is trans violence. Now, I want to be clear here when I talk about these examples. I'm talking about murders, deaths, dead people. And by my calculations, show the next card there. Since 2018, and by the way, February was particularly bad, there's been 18 trans shooters, though Google denies, I think maybe even Grok denies there's a pattern here, and 43 deaths. That's real bad. And I'm not talking about kiddie porn or rape or assault or getting shot in the leg. Those numbers are obviously much higher, dozens. And we actually already did. We did a whole thing on Drag Queen Story Hour. It's free on the site, and it was 10 drag queens, and it was like the worst things you can imagine with molesting kids, owning child porn. One of the top sponsors for Drag Queen Story Hour was caught with child porn. It's definitely a pattern. So keep in mind when I'm telling you all these, I'm just going for the worst things. Like today, this was from today. 08. Yeah. Just today, like a few hours ago, this came up. And it's child performs at a drag burlesque show in Austin. Oh, Austin's Free Brewery in Portland, Maine. Even leftists on Maine Reddit are saying this went way too far. It's being reported that a biological boy from middle school was dressed up as a girl to dance for adults. And by the way, whenever they dance, they always hand out money. That's from strip clubs. That's how strippers make their money. This is also from today, which is why that Simpsons graphic is so helpful. Church. It's at a church. How demonic is that? There's going to be a demonic theme throughout this, by the way. Watertown, Wisconsin. Church held a drag show with a female to male transgender Christ on a cross during Lent. Notice the children giving money to the sex workers. What is wrong with people sending the asteroid? You know, I'm a real libertarian when it comes to the way we treat our citizens, but I don't know, man. I'm starting to believe in blasphemy laws. If you go do this at a church, this isn't just like a metal band saying shout at the devil or something. I obviously don't want that kind of stuff messed with. I don't want Ozzy Osbourne to have been sent to jail for Blizzard of Oz. But, this kind of stuff is demonic and it's sabotage and it's an attack on Jesus Christ. Go to 07, by the way. I haven't even started yet, but go to 07. This was a new law in Florida, death penalty for pedos. Finally. Florida just keeps winning. This fall, Florida students will be... Oh, no, wait, that's not the same thing. Anti-communist classes. Sorry, I sent the wrong link. But I also read recently that Florida is going to be instituting the death penalty for anyone who molests a kid. This one just happened, February 22nd. They love their Februaries. Is that because of Valentine's Day? I don't know. This I'm not counting. This was just a mere shooting. Blue Zeke Daly, who identifies as trans, was arrested in New Hampshire for allegedly opening fire on Border Patrol agents. They love killing cops, but they really like Border Patrol agents because it's a double whammy for them. One, I'm killing a cop. Second, I'm defending migrants who probably hate them. Daly reported he tried to flee and crash into a snowbank where law enforcement made the arrest. So he's... I mean, in a bizarre way, he's kind of a victim of this propaganda. What happens when you hit play?
We were first to break this story late on Sunday night, and it's been tough to get information. It's really been piecemeal. But now we know that this suspect is from Manchester.
Right, boring.
A 26-year-old from
Isabella O'Reilly Valdez, a.k.a. Jimmy, and her friend were just caught plotting to kill a student because they were going to take his blood and use that blood in a satanic ritual to bring Adam Lanza back to life.
As one does.
As one does. Don't judge. Freedom of religion here in America. Murder plot to resurrect Sandy Hook shooter. Wait, was that Adam Lanza?
Yeah.
Careful, it's a very, very expensive subject to go near.
Yes, it absolutely was.
Without a shadow of a doubt. I don't have $8,000 per American. So yeah, It's a pattern. I was thinking about why it's a pattern. Who are these people? And I think there's three main reasons. One is they're weirdos with mental issues who are looking for an answer. And you don't feel comfortable in your own skin. That's an expression, right? So they go, well, maybe you're born in the wrong body. Oh, that explains me not being comfortable in my own skin. So then you change your skin to another gender. It doesn't solve your problems. You become a homicidal maniac because you think I put all my eggs in that basket. And I maimed myself. It's one. Two, it's like a chicken or the egg thing. Like Antifa, I'm sure, has a lot of people who are anarchists and wanted to fight the government, whatever. And then some bad apples showed up. This is the bad apples part of that. And the bad apples show up in Antifa because they go, oh, there's a place you can wear a mask and kick ladies in the head when they're down for not taking the vaccine. I'm in. And it's the same with trans. They go, wait, there's a way you can go to girls' bathrooms and masturbate and you just put a wig on and people think that you belong there. I'm in. So they don't have gender dysmorphia. They just see a place where they can get away with evil. And then three, of course, they're on SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And it doesn't seem real what I'm doing. Pew, 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 pew. Seems like a video game. I also, by the way, blame video games a little bit, but I'm too libertarian to take that on right now. Okay, so let's start. I've been meaning to start this since 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. Let's go with Robert Drogon. Let's try to power through these because there's a lot, Sean.
Okay.
So be quick on the draw. This was a guy, he actually praised me and some other right-wingers. Not a good look. And he was a beefy man who decided he was a woman. The family didn't support it, so he killed them. That's the father-in-law. Father-in-law took a little while, Gerald Drogon, but he killed his son and his ex-wife. So there's three deaths right there. Two, we've got Marissa Tubner, also known as Marty Tubner. That was February 14th. But 10 days before, the one I just showed you. Oh, I'm sorry, 2 days before. 16th was the first one, 14th. Sorry for the hokey picture. I couldn't find another one of her. This is probably a lesbian who's on T. This one I would put on the drugs. She's on T. She probably got dumped by Markeela and decided to murder her. This one I'm not counting. Trinity Shockley, a student at Mooresville High School, was arrested by police reportedly for planning to commit a mass shooting on Valentine's Day. This was February 12th of last year. And again, they love their Februaries. I think there's a link there, Sean, not a graphic. Yeah. So if not for the tenacious law enforcement, we would be listing her as another mass murderer. But we're only at three now. We're ignoring that one. I can't stress enough how I'm only doing actual dead bodies here. And the path of destruction is much more vast. But it's also a good litmus test. You know, if two people died in a mass shooting, then probably a dozen more were injured. And two dozen more brutally traumatized by being there. Jesse Strang, Jesse Van Rootseller. That was February 10th of this year. Oh, I kind of screwed up by putting in Trinity Shockley there because that was last year. This is still 2026. So February 16th, February 14th, and February 10th of this year, we've had three trans mass shootings just last month. And this one was particularly bad with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dead. A teacher and random students. And the reason I wanted to do this was to show the victims. We always show these shooters who are desperate for immortality. But it's important to show that, you know, it's not Boss Hogg they're killing or some quote-unquote fascist. It's some little black kid, some teacher's assistant, some little boy. You screwed up there.
Oops.
And, of course, CNN calls it a gun issue. Is that the one where they called it a gun person? Then that was in B.C., right?
It might have been this one.
Yeah, I think that was the one. Yeah, that is the one. They called it a gun person, 2-3.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching these, I'm going through these. That's a guy, the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, below that video.
Yeah.
He calls them gun people, which I guess I am, right? Turn it up.
That includes the deceased gun person.
Okay. And then separately, do you know the
gun person? Because that's what this is all about, of course, guns. Not the three things I mentioned. And by the way, while I'm going through this, I'm thinking of all these hate watch losers, like at Media Matters and SPLC and ADL, who were focused on guys like you or me using a rude word in our social media 6 years ago, or making jokes that are Trojan horses and could possibly lead to racism. And you're like, there's 20 blacks killed today by blacks. There's 200 opioid overdoses today. We're seeing almost a death a month here. We had ten deaths in just February from these brutally mentally ill trans shooters. And you're focused on fascists? I think I'm going to make a shirt that just says fascist. Because they've made it cool. September 10th of last year, Tyler Robinson. Now, people will probably get mad at me putting this in because they go, he's not trans. He's trans. His boyfriend is trans. He's a trans activist. He has the same motives as all these other people. We're counting it. His girlfriend was Lance Twiggs, who was his boyfriend. It's hard to find a picture of Lance. And as you'll notice in other ones, they tend to work in teams. And I think it's likely that Tyler Robinson threw himself under the bus for Lance and did the murder for Lance. Poor bastard. Charlie Kirk, all of them. I mean, I know that sounds weird to say, but they're all sort of victims in a sense. Obviously, Charlie Kirk, a billion times more than the shooters, but like his life's over. And for what? He thought it was a noble pursuit that he was killing a bigoted transphobe, but you weren't. So you ruined many, many lives with that dumb gesture. August, remember, 2025 was only 6 months ago. Oh, it was 3 months ago, but August was about 6 months ago. Robin Westman. This was at the Church of the Annunciation in Windham, a neighborhood of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Remember this guy? Attack took place during a scheduled school-wide mass attended by the students at the, you know, in my neighborhood in Westchester, there's always a cop car in front of a construction site. If they're repairing a pothole or something or ripping up the roads, there's always one cop car there. Why can't there be a cop car at every school? Or, and this drives the left nuts, they go, you want teachers to be killing kids? No, we want teachers who already have legal gun permits to be able to bring that legal gun permit concealed at school. Because I believe that these maniacs choose schools because they know they won't get shot. Okay, I'm in a rush here. Around this time, we start hearing about the Zizians. Now, that main guy, Jack, I don't think he's ever personally killed anyone, but the rest of them have. Right below Jack, we have the couple who killed a border guard. That girl on the left, boy, whatever that is, I listed him as sort of killing himself because he got into a shoot. Another one killed their parents. I was thinking about this morning too. Like, your friends say some crazy stuff. Like, do you want to stand on the hood of this truck while we drive down this dirt road? You can surf the truck. And you go, yeah. Maybe you try drugs or you try shotgunning a beer or something. And they go, you know that landlord that's giving us flack? Yeah. Let's kill him. What? You know my parents who don't take our gender dysphoria seriously? Yeah. I want to kill them. Yeah, me too. I'm like, I hate my mom. No, I'm going to murder them. Like, how do you get a group of people in on this? It seems statistically impossible. So, yeah, the Zizians are a pattern here that the media is determined to ignore. They shot the border guard. So this is Ophelia Back Out and Milo, that's a made-up name, Consuelo Youngblood, go to that card. That's another Zizian death. They were on the lam. They were looking for cops to kill. Border guard is better than a cop, so they were thrilled to be able to murder him. He's dead. I talked to a medvac guy this morning, actually, because he knew I've been talking about this all week. And, he said I picked up, they don't tell us who we're picking up. And the Ophelia there, the pink haired girl, he said she was lying on her back staring at the ceiling in the hospital room. She wanted to know what happened to, Milo. And, I don't know, she or he, whatever. And, he said, dude, when I walked in the room, I saw her lying there staring at the ceiling and I felt, this is Ophelia he's talking about. I think Ophelia is the pink haired one. He goes, I felt air leave my lungs. He goes, I go, it sounds like you said you saw Satan. And he goes, yeah. And I called my parents. I told them, I said, I think I just saw the devil. Maximilian Schneider, January 17th of last year. Another Zizian. Now, this is the guy I was talking about. This landlord was on their side, trying to help them out. They gouged out his eye in a knife attack. He still lived, kept going. And then this guy says, you know that landlord who is letting us stay in a trailer on his land? Let's kill him. He keeps asking for rent. Done. Dylan Jesse Butler. That was the Perry High School shooting. Not to be confused with Jesse Lang. This is January of 2024 now. So we've now only gone a whole 2 years behind. And, again, look at the victims. This guy was gender fluid. He had rainbow flags in his bio. Some random black kid and the principal of the school dead. Why again? I don't know. You didn't take me seriously. You called me a nut. Yeah. Well, you kind of proved my point by murdering me. Number nine, Julia Egler. And, they murdered her. She's the one who murdered her parents. I was just talking about that. That was actually not her parents. That's her mom, and her mom was dating a much younger man. They're both dead for not taking her seriously. I love the terrorist mentality too, that like, that's gonna change people's minds. Like those nuts who go, and I've heard this from right and left wing people, they go, we gotta start killing judges. It's the only way to make a change. Yeah. That'll stop judges making decisions against you and seeing you as a terrorist. Good plan. Hey, Joe, where you going with that gun? I'm going down to kill my old lady. I got to mess around with another man. You're going to go kill your girlfriend for cheating on you? Then you're going to go to Mexico? Kim Brady Carricker. That's just a weird dude. That's him in drag there, being Kimbra. And look at the black people he murdered. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dead. What's the story there? Was it at a cookout or something? 3-9? And where were they? What were they doing?
Philadelphia.
Mass shooting, Kingston section. He pleaded guilty. Oh, this is just family members of those killed gathered outside the courtroom. Yeah, this is just talking about the sentencing. I mean, the sentencing, whatever. Should be an eye for an eye, right? Aiden Hale, number 11. Out of these 18, I better hurry, we're going to run out of time. That was the Nashville shooting. That was the one where the manifesto was hidden from us. I think Steven Crowder got a hold of it and leaked it. And again, look at the victims. These are the fascists that you're punishing. Is this the plan here, or is it more of like a jihadi thing where you kill our most innocent to make us mad? Well, you've definitely achieved the latter. I'm mad. She hated Christians and targeted them, which again is demonic, right? Number 12, Michelle Zajko, another Zizian, by the way. She also murdered her parents. These were his actual parents. So she thought she was a he. I know this is terrible, but sometimes when you see these people looking old, don't you sort of go, well, at least you had sort of a life? I know that's a horrible thing to think. 13, Anderson Lee Aldrich. That was the Colorado Springs shooting. The narrative, of course, is that it's just another Pulse shooting. If you recall the Pulse shooting, which I believe killed like 84 people, that's him getting tuned up after the shooting. But the old gun violence and homophobia, he was non-binary, gender fluid, and he killed his fellow non-binary gender fluid people. The Pulse shooting was a Muslim who hated gays and wanted to punish them. But the media is denying us this information because they're better than us. and they don't want to foment anti-trans sentiment, so they spare us certain news stories. If it's a white guy, yeah, they can go nuts because they're not worried about white guys getting hurt. But if it's trans or a protected class, then the media, they spare us the details. Another Zizian, Emma Bornanian. Now, this is a weird one because they encouraged her to get into a shootout with cops, and she was killed in the process. She or he, I can't tell. So that's the only time you'll see the same face on both sides. She was killed during an attack on the guy with one eye I showed earlier. She was shot in a shootout with him. And then this one is interesting. Devin Erickson and Alec McKinney. I hope we're still going. How are we doing for commercials here?
We are at 1 minute, 30 seconds.
So Devin Erickson and Alec McKinney, there was a pair that teamed up, which is why I think the Charlie Kirk shooting is not as simple as we think it is. Because the guy there with the pink hair basically convinced the lesbian to kill that kid. I don't think they were going for him, but to shoot people. Sorry I put shot dead there. They're all shot dead in this whole thing. But they were in cahoots, so they're both in jail for life for that. And then we have Snokia Mosley. Now we're going all the way back to 2018. The one we just showed was 2019. And that was three people who were murdered. And then about five more seriously injured. And it's a pattern that goes back. I've got Perry Cerf here who beat a woman to death, broke her neck, and drank her blood. That was back in 2002. There was Adam Labuchain, who is a drag queen trans woman who raped a baby. And the more you look into this, you'll see it's a pattern that's been going back since we've been recording crime. And your instincts say, I feel uncomfortable around these people. I think there's something fishy about this situation. That's been the normal response our entire lives, and we've been taught to ignore that. Well, I'm not ignoring it. I'm uncomfortable if you appear mentally ill and violent, and that instinct is going to save my life and ideally your life.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at TheAlexHomeStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
What's your problem? I said, what's your problem?
How are you today, sir?
Okay, how's it going?
Fine, thank you. Thank you, sir. Here you are, sir. Thank you.
Hey, buddy, you gonna pay for that or what? Look, buddy, I don't want no hassle today. Either pay for it or put it back.
Did Bob make you go to John and Mary Ellen's
last night?
I was shocked. She served blue corn tortillas. It's so dated.
The feeling is definitely there. It's a new morning in America. Fresh, vital. The old cynicism is gone. We have faith in our leaders. We're optimistic as to what becomes of it all. It really boils down to our ability to accept. We don't need pessimism. Our ideal of vision.
I've got one that can see.
Thousands of former Nazis went to work for the United States government.
A flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. President Kennedy has been shot.
This is a different kind of war.
The USS Liberty had just been attacked by Israeli jets and torpedo boats.
The CIA could manipulate the news in the United States.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
It was almost as if it were a plan in motion. It just tanked.
We need to go into the Capitol.
You will always have conspiracy theories. They are nothing but distractions.
You guys censored Harvard-educated doctors. You silenced those voices.
What we want to do in Davos is push the reset button.
As soon as we start exposing the Great Reset, the sooner these globalists start going to prison!
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance.
This is Stuart Rose, guest hosting today for Alex Jones. Really glad to be here. I'm going to tell you straight up, when I was sentenced to 18 years, Judge Mehta, you know, glared at me. I glared right back, and I told him my oath will not let me shut my eyes to the plain text of Article 2. And I called out the stolen election of 2020, which I call the COVID coup. So that same oath that would not let me shut my eyes to what happened in 2020 will not let me shut my eyes to what's happening right now in our government. And it's been a wild ride for me this last year. You know, I was raised as a Christian to believe that, you know, we must support the state of Israel. But I can't shut my eyes when I see the director of the ADL in Israel, as Harrison just showed a little while ago, talking to his co-traveler Zionist about what they need to do, giving them advice after he spent, you know, his life in the United States with the ADL, demonizing patriots like myself since 2009. I've been demonized by the ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center. And then watching him in Israel giving advice, tactical advice to his fellow traveler Zionists. We can't shut our eyes to the obvious role of the influence of Zionism in our government, of the Israeli intelligence services, Mossad and others in our government, and through AIPAC, the control of American politicians. So that's why I no longer call myself MAGA. I am an America-only patriot. I'm a Christian nationalist, an American Christian nationalist. And so I have to, you know, open my eyes to the reality in front of my face, and it's caused a division inside of MAGA, and it's caused a division on the political right. But so be it. We can't shut our eyes to the truth in front of us. I don't want any foreign influence in our government whatsoever. So that's where we are. So buckle up. It's going to be a rough ride. There's a lot of Americans that are now becoming red-pilled and even black-pilled on the influence of Israel in our country, and also on what's happening inside the Trump administration. Now, I'm traveling to Mar-a-Lago this Friday, in fact, for an event. I've been invited there by the Republican Party chair of Palm Beach to come in, you know, and give us a shot, us and the other J6ers who have not yet been pardoned. I think Ethan Nordine will be there, hopefully Joe Biggs. Give us a shot at possibly meeting President Trump and asking him to pardon the rest of us. There's still 12 of us left. 8 Oath Keepers and 4 Proud Boys who still need pardons. And so I hope to be able to shake President Trump's hand and ask him for that pardon. But again, my oath won't let me shut my eyes or shut my mouth about what's happening in our country. And so I can't let the fact that I'm still waiting for a pardon along with 7 other Oath Keepers and those 4 Proud Boys, all of them who were innocent men, wrongly accused and wrongly prosecuted, I can't let that shut me up about calling out what I see happening in our country. And so if I lose my pardon because of that, then so be it. That's where my mind's at. And I think I owe that to everybody who ever swore the oath like I did. So let's talk some truth. I want to bring in a good friend of mine, independent journalist, Sean Witzman, who himself is a J6er. He was charged and spent some time in jail and was there on J6. And I was looking at his X page today, and I finally read this article he had written about the two brothers who opened the doors in the Senate building that day. Two of the mystery men who, you know, there were several of them, opened doors from the inside and were never prosecuted. But just reading this today has blew my mind that these two are, in fact, dual citizen Israelis and are now in Israel. So I want to bring Sean in. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Stuart. It's always good to have a conversation with you about goings-on in the world. Yeah, Asher and Gil, it's a pretty underreported story. It's never been debunked. I reached out to their family members, lots of associates when I was preparing the story. I vetted it with friends of ours, good friends of ours, who have worked in the intelligence community. They agreed that everything about it looked suspicious, and it's sort of an underreported detail that Asher and Gil were there on January 6th. They were supposed to be in Israel, so, you know, presumably they got brought back in and taken back out pretty quickly. So very odd. They were never charged. They were never named by the Department of Justice. I took that story to a lot of people. It got some attention, but interestingly enough, that's when the shadow bans really started on my account. And I've always found that funny.
So you published this when?
That would have been November 1st of 2024.
Okay. And you you identified and proved up that both of them were dual citizens Israeli. One was IDF. The other had worked for the World Zionist Organization.
Yeah, he worked for the World Zionist Federation. He works for JNS right now, Jewish News Syndicate. To the best of my knowledge, he was still publishing stories there. Both are, self-proclaimed Trump supporters. So there was nothing particularly amiss there in a lot of people's minds. But just a lot of strange connections, the education. It's the sort of thing that you would expect to see, frankly.
Well,
it's very speculative.
You can bring up your post on X onto the screen for the folks to look at. If you can just kind of walk us through the high points, like the ones that really, really rattled me were, his associations with Zionist organizations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would have been Asher, who was, in a lot of ways, he's the older brother, so he seems to have been the leader, as far as what they did at the Capitol that day, which, admittedly, they didn't engage in violence or anything. But why this was so interesting to me, and this should be brought up, was that I actually entered the Capitol twice on January 6th. And the first time I entered was at the Senate, fire doors is what they call them. And it was roughly 4 minutes after the initial breach. And so that door was opened from the inside. I went in there first. I had a cordial conversation with police officers, explained that I was a journalist. They told me I needed to leave and go back another way, which I did. And then I entered in through the Senate doors that were so famous where the initial breach occurred. Now, why this was odd was the Department of Justice excluded this from anything to do with my charging documents. They excluded it from any of my sentencing or anything else.
So
I repeatedly brought it up.
So you're saying that Gil Daniels and Asher Daniels opened the door that you walked through?
Correct.
And they
were never publicly identified by the DOJ, nor were they charged.
And they were erased from the evidence in your trial?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's why it was always odd. It never made sense to me. If I was building a case against me that day,
right,
which, and I ended up pleading guilty, and I've discussed that, ad nauseum.
What'd you plead guilty to parading and trespass?
Yeah, picketing and parading in a Capitol building.
Right.
That was my final plea, and the way I explained that, and we've discussed this, because I was not in a position where I wanted to lie, but I said, okay, I had a breach of objectivity as a journalist that day. Fine. If this is what it takes, that's what it takes.
Right. Well, you weren't taking a plea deal required you to bear false witness against others. You just felt
no. And that's
sword.
That's what I really struggled with. And a lot of it had to do with facts like this that even my attorney at the time had no desire to bring up. And I wrote a really extensive.
You wanted him to bring up the fact that these two brothers were opening the doors, but were now disappeared.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You know, that reminds
me. And
the
judge dismissed it.
That reminds me of what happened in my case, where you had people who were involved in the initial breach outside. Ray Epps in particular. We weren't allowed to talk about him. We were allowed to show the video. We weren't allowed to even mention his name. So the same exact thing happened to you in your trial. You could not discuss these two brothers in front of the jury?
No, I brought it up to the judge, but he didn't want to hear it at all. He was not interested in that, nor was he interested in the fact that my attorney was communicating with the DOJ behind my back, and he had inadvertently sent me those details too. So, same thing, all January 6 trials. For the large part, they were doctored. They were intended to support a particular narrative. They were intended to demonize Americans, frankly. And then you saw competing psychological warfare operations, just intended to obfuscate the truth. And the truth is always somewhere in the middle. So when you've got these characters that are never charged, there are multiple others. And, sedition hunters who went after all January 6ers, and they were probably the most prolific open source intelligence gatherers, as they handed that stuff over to the DOJ. And I actually had a cordial relationship with the sedition hunter who had initially identified Gil and Asher. And they told me that they couldn't get any traction from the DOJ. It was like they were just being ignored, which was odd again.
So like Ray Epps, they were absolutely disappeared from the official narrative. They were not used at trial, and they were protected.
Absolutely.
And so just walk through real quick.
That's what we see.
What are Asher's affiliations with Israel?
I mean, going back to AIPAC, that was his first job. And then he studied in London as well. So, yeah, they're
over there. So he worked for AIPAC when?
Oh, that was back early in his life. If I scroll down, you'll have to forgive me. It's been a long time since I wrote this story.
Yeah, so you say here in August 2020, he wrote for the Jewish News Syndicate.
Yeah.
He described his lifelong dream of becoming an Israeli citizen and detailed his career, which started with the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, AIPAC, before transitioning to a role with the Technion Israel Institute of Technology. Where he was
tasked with recruiting young engineers,
There you go.
Yeah, so then he went on to the World Zionist Organization. His master's thesis was on the Abraham Accords. I mean, he checks all the boxes, and then his brother Gil went into the Lone Soldier Program. Both of them, they immigrated and did their return to Israel.
What's a Lone Soldier Program? Tell us what that is.
So Lone Soldier is for non-Israeli citizens to come in and serve the IDF. That's the...
Okay.
The basics of that.
So they were American Jews who then sought and secured citizenship with Israel.
Correct. Prior to January 6th.
Prior
and according
to
everything 6th. They've said, and according to everything they've said, they were already in Israel on January 6th. But the problem is that the video evidence, which I went through extensively and tracked their movements through the building. I mean, they were at the Capitol on January 6th. They were in the Capitol, and they opened those doors.
So their official cover is they were in Israel on January 6th as dual citizen, new, fresh citizen Israelis, but they were actually in D.C. And that's what's been erased by the mainstream media and by the machine.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, what does this tell you? Go ahead.
This is symptomatic.
Right. Exactly. What's this tell you about what's been happening in our country? This is what I'm like having vertigo because in this last year I've had my mind blown. I mean, when I was a student at Yale Law School, I knew dual citizen Israelis who were atheist and communist and, but still had an absolute loyalty to Israel. And they admitted they had, you know, an emotional connection to Israel where they couldn't have independent judgment when it came to Israel. So they told me. So I always knew that was there. But what I didn't really realize until this last year was just how pervasive this mindset is among American Jews, this dual loyalty or actually primacy of loyalty to Israel. And it seems to be everywhere in our government. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, it was interesting when you opened this and you talked about kind of coming to terms with the way things are in this country. And that's very much what my experience has been. Like I've told you numerous times and anybody who knows me, I was a reluctant Trump supporter. I didn't vote for him the first time around. I did vote for him the second time around because there was no other choice in my mind. And then of course we saw that there was a fraudulent election and things just take off from there. This last time I voted for him, I understood what we were up against because of his connections, because I knew that he was getting piles of money from the Israeli lobby, Miriam Adelson specifically. So I wasn't really hopeful as far as what we would see. You know, I essentially voted for Trump to get guys like you out of prison. That was it. So I was a one-issue voter this time around. But overall, when you look at Israel, I was raised in the same sort of situation in church growing up. I was always taught that Israel is chosen, that, you know, those who bless Israel will be blessed by God, and that if you don't, you'll be cursed. And so it puts this mentality in you. And then furthermore, we've found out as things have gone along that, you know, Mossad has spent a lot of time and money influencing Christian pastors across the United States. I mean, this is how
going back to the Schofield Bible, the study Bible, right?
Absolutely,
right. Which was funded
absolutely.
By.
So this was important.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and so it's not comfortable, right? I had written an article about Beowulf's American Lament was the title of that back in 2023, where I detailed the history briefly of counterintelligence as it relates to Russia and how Russia is a master of this game, ideological subversion, active measures. Yuri Bezmenov spoke about it, but it's the idea of getting to be people to act in what they believe to be their own best interest, but it just further widens the divide in society. That's what we're seeing in the United States right now, and particularly around the issue of Israel. It's destroyed the MAGA movement. It's over. It's done. So really it's coming down to people who have decided to sign on with the classical neocon agenda that we were all so against.
Well, that's what we're being told MAGA is. And the silver lining though is that a large part of Trump's own base is not buying that. They're saying, hey, hold on a second. You're trying to tell us that all along MAGA was just neocon, just foreign interventionist, make perpetual war. That's MAGA. That's what we're being told now, basically. And they're saying no. They're rejecting that.
As they should. I've had conversations with mutual friends of ours and again, people who were much more into that movement than I ever was. And I think it's more heartbreaking for them. But you come to a realization at a certain point that Trump has walked away from that base, from the people who did everything for him to ensure that he became president again. You know, people who, like yourself, who went to prison essentially for him. And for him to abandon that base, there has to be a deeper explanation. And
what do you think?
The only thing I've come up, yeah.
What do you think that is? Like, so for example, throwing Marjorie Taylor Greene under the bus, condemning her as a traitor, condemning Massey as a traitor, now declaring that if you criticize Mark Levin, that you're not MAGA, that Mark Levin is the heart of MAGA now? So what do you think explains that?
There's two ways you could look at it. Either it's just coercion or there's some sort of blackmail involved.
Let's take coercion first. So
yeah, sure.
When I saw President Trump shot at Butler, I mean, that was kind of a watershed moment, I think, for the country and for me. If he'd been killed at that moment, if his head had exploded that day, I think we would have had a civil war in this country. Because the entire MAGA base would have been basically confirmed that they will not let you elect your own leader. That you can have overwhelming support and they will still steal the election and then they'll just kill him if they have to. So that was a big watershed moment. And that's also the moment where I thought, I still believe it in fact, that God spared President Trump's life for a purpose that day. He spared his life so that President Trump could save our republic. That's why I'm hoping that President Trump can be redeemed and brought back to focus on that mission. But what do you think about that? Do you think that was attempted coercion?
We talked about this. I think that the money was always involved. If you look back at Trump's business dealings, he's always been in a position where he had to ask for money. He's not nearly as independent as people would like to believe. There had been a lot of money spent up to that point. I think he was put in a situation where the right people were put in place, whether you're going to talk about Susie Wiles or any of the others that surround him in his cabinet. And I think that he was intending to do the right thing for the republic.
You talking about in 2016 and 17, or are you talking in 2020?
I'm talking about in 2024 even.
Okay. So you think he had the right intention, but what?
Yes, but the problem is that he bucked that system. So it's been my assessment, and again, this is speculative for the most part, that what happened in Butler was his message. The powers that be that run things, the shadow government, the deep state, whatever you want to call that anti-American part of the intelligence apparatus, I think they sent a message that they weren't playing around with him, quite frankly. I think he had gotten to a point where maybe you could say he was getting too big for his britches and they needed to take him down a notch. And quite frankly, these people don't care whether he lives or dies, as long as their agenda moves forward. So there was no loss for them there. If he had died that day, they would have moved forward with the agenda.
Through J.D. Vance.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's your contention that they tried to kill him, but in the end didn't care whether he lived or died as long as the message got across. If he lived, great. Now he knows that his life's in danger. And if he dies, they'll just replace him. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And part of that is that I've always thought that there's some sort of dirt on him that he doesn't want to come out. And a lot of people get offended when I say this, but Trump does not strike me as a particularly benevolent person to those around him. I think he's inherently self-centered. That's what I've seen. And I think we're seeing a lot of that start to boil to the surface now with his reaction to any sort of questioning or opposition to his current agenda. He's throwing a fit. When you do a wall of text,
he doesn't like criticism and he likes praise. And so that's how he's manipulated, right? On the one hand, they have a threat, but the other side of it is they have people around him who kiss his ass and tell him what he wants to hear. And that's been the way it was for the first term also. He's manipulated by people around him. He believes are loyal to him because they praise him continuously, but then they manipulate him. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he had good intent and might still have good intent, but he's being manipulated into thinking that this is consistent with good intent, that what he's doing is America first somehow, that what he's doing is fulfilling his responsibility. What do you think?
I would like to think that there's a way for him to walk this back, but quite frankly, it's gotten to a point where the only out I see for him to preserve the republic would be to come clean about whatever it is that's going on that we can't see. We need a full release of everything in the Epstein files. We need to see arrests of those people that were involved. And if he was involved, which it seems as though he was, he needs to resign after he's done doing that. That would be the appropriate thing to do. But I don't see that happening.
So basically do what I asked them to do in 2020, mass disclosures and take them down. And then do the right thing no matter what. Okay. Hey, we'll come back right after the break. Just hang around. Thanks, brother.
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. This is Stuart Rhodes filling in. It's an honor to be here. Tell you what, folks, InfoWars has been from its inception and still is to this day the largest, most effective truth-telling platform on the planet. And that's exactly why they're getting hammered by the bad guys. So I encourage you to support them by going to thealexjonesstore.com. In fact, I encourage you to text InfoWars, just text that word, InfoWars, all in one word, to 342-581. That's 342-581. Just text InfoWars to get a free Methylene Blue tincture with the purchase of any product. And that deal ends tonight on the alexjonesstore.com. They also have the iodine launch, 50% off for VIPs, 25% off for everyone else. And they have a March mega sale going on, up to 40% off. It ends tomorrow night on NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and Methylene Blue tincture and capsules, which I think are fantastic. So support Alex Jones and his war against the deep state by going to the alexjonesstore.com. Him and his crew are awesome people. I wouldn't be sitting here otherwise. So I want to get back to my discussion with Sean. So Sean, that article revealing, I knew there was an inside job when it comes to people opening the doors in the Capitol. I had no idea there were two dual citizen Israelis involved in that, who are now in Israel and who are being protected and were always protected against prosecution. That just blew my mind. So let's bring things to current events. What are your thoughts, as you have so many contacts in intelligence agencies, what are your thoughts on the recent reports that the CIA is going after Tucker Carlson and encouraging prosecution of Tucker? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a sign of the times we're in. Tucker has always been someone who follows the facts to the best of his ability, which is all you can ever ask of any journalist.
Right.
And that's what he's done when it comes to the Israeli lobby. He's out there asking questions. You know, he made Ted Cruz really angry by asking some simple questions about what it is that AIPAC does. Ted Cruz didn't want to answer any of that. So it's been the same thing repeatedly. And then when you have Laura Loomer running around saying that he should be imprisoned or worse, saying that he's engaged in treason, you're seeing this machine turn against anyone who questions that authority, that relationship with our greatest ally. You know, whatever that means.
Now, Tucker himself, it's fair to say that he was plugged in with the CIA throughout his career, correct?
I would say that's fair. I mean, I think anybody who's ever worked in media knows that at some point you're probably going to get approached by someone who works within the intelligence apparatus, and they're going to try to sway what your thinking is. They're going to try to feed you information. I mean, it's like you mentioned, I have some very good contacts within that community that I've developed trusted relationships with. But to a degree, anything that gets fed to me, you take it with a grain of salt. You let it inform your overall understanding of the world, perhaps. And there's no reason to think that at his level, he wasn't dealing with that. I've had discussions with people, all levels of media, and it's very common. We know Mockingbird Media was part of it, but that's not just limited to CIA. You're going to have agents from all other agencies across the world, foreign and domestic, attempting to sway narrative. Because in the end, the facts, and we're seeing this more and more every day, right? With AI video and everything that's being put out, the disinformation atmosphere that we live in, is that it doesn't matter what the facts are. What matters is what people believe, their perception of reality. So if you can alter people's perception of reality, that's more powerful than any gun on a battlefield.
Right. You make your own reality, right? That's their attitude.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I read The Devil's Chessboard, really good book on the history of the CIA, and it's obvious that the CIA has had fronts in industry, every industry you can think of, but including media, for many, many years, journalists who work for them. So, but how long has it been from the inception of the CIA? How long has Mossad been direct? Is it the same entity? Is it Mossad is the CIA and the CIA is Mossad? Or how long has Israel taken primacy in this influence operation over American journalism?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because, like we've discussed, it's not monolithic within that community. You're going to have people who are very patriotic, very American first. But if their voices don't rise to the top, then it doesn't really matter. Particularly at the director level, people do favors and it becomes a political game to get to that point. But as far as the history of Mossad, CIA, and British intelligence, it's so intertwined that it's pretty impossible to separate them. It's one entity. And in fact, modern statecraft, to argue that modern statecraft can be accomplished without that sort of a beast within it, I don't think it's possible, quite frankly.
What do you mean? What do you mean by modern statecraft?
Well, statecraft in general, it's always been about information. I mean, go back as far as you want. If your nation had better intelligence than a competing nation, then you were going to win the battle.
Yeah, that's the excuse.
Really that simple.
That's the justification for starting the CIA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we needed it in World War II, right? So it came out of OSS, but we went to the British and we asked them, how do we do this? And they taught us counterintelligence, which is where it gets really tricky.
Right. Well, I'm going to push back on that. So before there was a CIA, we relied on naval intelligence in primacy, along with the rest of the military intelligence. And like you said, out of World War II came the OSS. And of course, intelligence agencies largely come out of the banking system, right? The big bankers had their own intelligence services. You know, and Alan Dulles and his brother Foster Dulles were both Wall Street banker lawyers. That's where they came from. They came from Wall Street working for the bankers. But the CIA's initial justification was to be a clearinghouse of information for the President of the United States. And that's why they convinced the President to sign it, you know, signed into law by Truman. And later he regretted it, saying that they went far beyond their mandate. They're supposed to be only like the DNI is, someone that can give the president to collate all the intelligence from all of the different services, and including our allies, and bring it all together and present it to the president as one source. That was justification for the CIA. Because the CIA has gone way beyond that mandate, I believe it should be destroyed. What say you?
The problem is that I think we've reached a point in this country where the republic as we want it to be has become a less tenable idea. I don't think it can be separated. So even idealistically, if I said, yeah, let's go ahead and just destroy all of that, it would just be replaced in some other way, shape, or form. We have spent an exuberant amount of taxpayer dollars to essentially fund criminals, because whether they're serving on behalf of the United States or not, that's really what you have to understand about intelligence work, is that it is criminal behavior. You're typically in other countries breaking the laws, committing espionage, so you're training people on how to get away with crimes. And then you think you're just going to shut it down. Well, potentially you could, and Kennedy talked about scattering it to the winds, and that didn't work out really well for him.
Yeah, they killed him. Right.
And I think they're well aware of this situation, but I think...
Well, that just tells me all the more why it needs to be taken down, because there was a coup pulled when they killed Kennedy. It's been an ongoing rolling coup since the inception of the CIA, and back before that, the inception of the Federal Reserve. It's been one giant coup ongoing. And so I would rather tear it all down, declare a jubilee on all the debt, rip down all these institutions, scatter them all to the four winds, and just start over. And then see how, who knows what we'll wind up with after that, but who knows. But what I do know is this system right here is evil. As you said, it's criminal. Like the book, forgot her first name, but last name is Webb, the book, One Nation Under Blackmail, details how the intelligence agencies were hand in glove with the mob and all other criminal syndicates from the very beginning. Because as you said, it's a criminal operation. But I don't believe we the people, well, I know we never agreed to that. It doesn't come from us. It's not government of, by, and for the people. It's government of, by, and for the criminals. And I'd rather have nothing than to have that over me. I don't care what the supposed necessity is. That's just my soapbox.
You're pushing back, but I think this is us typically when we speak, is that there's no pushback. None of us gave explicit authorization for any of this. It's right. All implied. It's all implied by us going to the ballot box, by us continuing to pay taxes, by us continuing to legitimize this corrupt government that makes decisions. And now, they're sending guys off to the Middle East again to go fight these wars on behalf of Israel. Now, you could make an argument. You could say in some sort of fantasy world that this is going to make the world more stable. And I suppose it would. But under what? American tyranny? Is that what we really want to sign off on ourselves? Is that what the spirit of 1776 was about? Well, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But that's not even, the choice is not between Pax Americana and, whatever they're trying to say we're going to wind up with, a world caliphate. That's not the actual choice. The choice is between, as far as I'm concerned, is legitimate America first, and living under what we live under now, which is demonic pedophile elites that are untouchable, that are internationalist. The Rothschild family, who had their representative, Jeffrey Epstein, going around filming politicians and corporate CEOs having sex with underage girls and God knows what else, even worse than that, to blackmail them on behalf of the CIA and the FBI. I mean, CIA and Assad. That's the reality, right? That's where we are.
So, yeah, that's how the sausage gets made. Right. This is why intelligence, blackmail, all of that. Because then it doesn't matter who's in office. And we see that with Congress. Congress is completely inept. You mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, which I've never been a big fan of hers, but seeing what happened to her in all this, it's egregious. There's no reason for her to be treated that way. But this is the deal, is that anybody who bucks that system, they don't get to play anymore. And if they really buck it and they've got influence and they don't have a particularly good way to shut them up, well, they just kill them.
Right.
And then it doesn't matter. They don't care that we know. It's become quite obvious to me that even the disclosure with what we got, the slight disclosure on the Epstein files, that's intentional. Because from their perspective, if this country descends into civil war as we're divided in 15 different directions, they're able to consolidate power above that. You got to remember this globalist agenda. They're not looking to have an American empire. That's not the goal. The goal is to destroy the United States, and they're doing a great job of it. And we're in a situation where it's like, okay, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
That'll be my message.
So we've
got to
make a decision if we want to be free.
Like, I'm, I have no love loss. I mean, I don't cry any tears at all when the Mullah got smoked. I think it was fantastic, frankly. But if you could decapitate and free the Iranian people from the Mullahs, that'd be fantastic. So, but that's not the agenda. The agenda is not to free the Iranian people and give them autonomy to decide their own future. That really is not the, obviously not the agenda. The agenda is to make perpetual war, which is the health of the state. So what I would say to the guys out there, and I know quite a few of them, like, hey, Iran is a threat, needs to be taken down. I'm going to tell them, sorry to tell you, but even if that is accomplished, it's not really being accomplished for this country. And I got in an argument with Rick Green, a guy that runs the Patriot Academy here in Texas. We were at a forum together in Florida, and we got in an argument about Zionism. I said, hey, I can't shut my eyes. Here are the rabbis in Israel, Zionists in Israel, talking about how Islam is the broom of Zionism to sweep away Christianity and sweep away the West. And only when Christianity is destroyed can their Jewish Messiah return. That's what this rabbi is saying. And Rick Green was like, well, that's just a small number of them saying that. And okay, so then what about all the atheist communists who are from Israel who don't believe in any God, but they still believe exactly in the agenda of flooding the West with Islam to destroy Western civilization because they're communist? I don't care if it's because they're a communist or because they're a radical Zionist Orthodox who believes that this is going to bring back their Messiah. I don't care why they want to flood the West with Islam and destroy the West with mass immigration. I just know that's what they're doing. And I said, I can't shut my eyes to who is doing it. It is international Jewish organizations. Of course, you're being conditioned to say, well, I can't say that or I'll be branded as an anti-Semite. Well, I'm just done with that.
Right.
I'm going to call it out. So the reality is that that's a very real threat, and it's being used, or it's in the name of that threat, in the name of that agenda. That's why we see mass immigration into the West. It's by design, and it is a Zionist design. It's the way it is. So I'm going to probably lose friends over this now because I'm saying this on air, but I can't shut my eyes to it. But what do you say to that? And what's the way out?
I mean, I've certainly lost plenty of friends by just speaking what I saw to be objective fact along the way. And that's what you're dealing with. These are objective facts.
Yeah.
The Israeli lobby has completely taken over American foreign policy and, quite frankly, domestic policy. It could be argued as well to a large degree. Whether you're talking about communists and that agenda, you know, from the left. And again, this is what it is. It's, you're dealing with ideological subversion, not propaganda. It's not propaganda. It's a completely different operation in that you don't care what people believe as long as they are divided and you're pushing in a general direction. You're steering society through this behavior modification. And that's what it is, whether it's through media, pick your poison, right?
But are they? I mean, in a way, they're losing the battle when it comes to getting us to hate each other. You know, they are now getting upset because too many Americans are noticing the source of I call it propaganda, but you call it subversion. So, but you know, what is the source of Marxism? Where did it come from? What's the source of modern liberalism in the United States? Why is it that the dual citizen Israelis that I went to school with at Yale Law School are anti-gun here inside the United States, but back in Israel, they carry Uzis around? They're fine with guns in Israel, but not in the United States. That was a big wake-up call for me. That was one of my first moments of like, what is going on here? Why does this not compute? And that goes forward to what we see now, the mass immigration into this country. Why is that happening here? It doesn't happen in Israel. They're an ethno-state. They're not bringing in African refugees from all over Africa and Muslims from all over the world into Israel as refugees. They're not. But they're bringing them here, and they're bringing them into Europe. Now, why is that being done? So I'm just not going to shut my eyes to it anymore. And I don't care what people call me. So.
No, the agenda's out in the open when it comes to greater Israel. And that's another detail about what's happening in Iran is that it furthers that agenda. And like you said, I would love to live in this world where it's like, yeah, we're going to free those people from the extremism that they've dealt with. As you know, I have friends over there right now that I was very concerned for their safety, and they're excited about it. They love it.
Yeah, I saw that post.
Because they've been terrorized for so long, yeah.
Is it okay if we show that post?
I would rather not.
Okay, no problem.
I would rather not.
But I saw it, yeah. your friend is ecstatic that a chance of possibly being out from under the murderous friggin' mullahs. So that's very real. Yeah. And I've been out. I gave a speech to the Fredericksburg Tea Party here in Texas just last week, and I said I'm an American nationalist. Period. I'm a Christian nationalist, and I believe that Islam is absolutely incompatible with Western civilization, and all Muslims should be deported, good and bad.
Yeah,
you know, because it's intrinsically inconsistent. But then so is Zionism. To be blunt, you know,
I would tend to push back. You know that. You know, I think that we've been conditioned to a certain direction in that, as you know. I mean, my uncle is, you know, he's passed now, not too long ago, but, you know, very good Muslim man who loved Great Britain.
Right.
So I don't see it through the same lens. America was supposed to be a place where we had freedom of religion. Now that doesn't mean that you get to subvert the ideas and the principles of the Constitution.
That seems to be the problem with Islam intrinsically and apparently with Zionism intrinsically, is both of them are supremacist ideologies that believe their religion is supreme, but others are infidels or goyim or less than, and that they're meant to rule the world. And it's the same mindset of a Marxist too, that their system is supposed to be supreme and rule the world. And so that's why I say what I say. And I also know that, you know, when you've got mass immigration of Muslims into the West who are not assimilating, unlike your uncle, don't adopt.
They were never intended to assimilate. And that's the point.
Right.
The particular ones, we went in and we destroyed these countries. We gave these people a reason to hate us. I mean, you think about it. If this had happened to you, you'd be the same way. It wouldn't matter what your religion was. If people come in, they bomb your children, you would hate them. Yes. And sure, if you have a strong religious conviction there, you're going to merge those ideas.
Yeah.
It's going to, this is how the Crusades happened, right? It's the people need something to believe in. And then when you traumatize them on top of that, this is how you create religious and holy wars. So to me, it's like a repeat of everything that we saw, you know, 1,000 years ago. It's not that special. It's just the same things going on.
Well, except that the Crusades were a response to the invasion from Islam. Islam did invade. It was a conquest religion from the very beginning. It wasn't that Europeans were abusing Arabs. It was that the Arabs, you know, took over Sicily, then took Spain. They took what they wanted to take. And also they took over Iran. They killed all the Persians that were resisting them, right? It was a war.
Well, that's my point. Yeah, that's my point, is that the shoe was on the other foot in a lot of ways then.
Yeah.
So they were the ones that were doing these conquests.
And in response
abroad
to that, the knights pushed back. And so I'm on the side of the Crusaders when it comes to that. They took back Christendom.
And that's reasonable as far as from that Christian perspective, right? But my point in all of that is that you're dealing with people who are trying to understand the universe that they live in. And they're going to use different terms depending on who told them what and what they've chosen to believe. And that goes back to that power, perception, and belief. But quite frankly, if you're being told that you have some sort of divine authority to go murder other human beings, there's a problem there.
Yes.
That's what we're dealing with when you talk about this idea of supremacy. That's not the Christian way. That's not what Christ taught.
No, and that's the difference.
Christ taught something completely different than that.
And that's what I would talk to my Christian brothers, and I have some good friends who are this way, who believe we must put, you know, Israel on a pedestal. It's like Christ, it's called the New Testament, which is the New Covenant for a reason. All that's wiped away. The Old Testament rules and them being the chosen people of God are wiped away. And now it's just you believe in Christ. And that's open to anyone on the planet of any religion, any race. You believe in Christ, you're part of the New Covenant. And it's not, wasn't supposed to be a conquest religion. All I'm saying, though, is that from my perspective, when the Crusaders took back Jerusalem, they were taking back Christendom for Christians. They were protecting the pilgrims. So I see that as a little bit different than a war of conquest to go. They didn't go try to take Saudi Arabia. They just took back what had belonged to Christendom. So that's just,
I guess I've got a much more cynical, understanding of power than to believe that it was anything to do with Christ to go to war there.
Right.
I think it was more about power.
We can argue about that. Look, I'll put it this way. I believe our founding fathers, when they rebelled and shot redcoats, were still good Christians. So I believe there is defensive war. There is just war. So sometimes you have to fight.
So. Well, it's tyranny, right? That's right. That's what you're dealing with on some level, is that it's this never-ending fight against tyranny and this idea that we were born free, that we were born with liberty,
with free will,
and that can't be that can't be taken away. So this is part of the problem, even philosophically, that I've run into over the years, is that this difference between idealism and pragmatism. Because to me, the entire idea of government is just pragmatic, and it's simply because people can't operate without it. It would descend into chaos, murder.
I'm not sure that's true. I mean, if you're in a clan or extended family, it can work. Now, beyond that size, that's a problem with government. Every government in the world has turned tyrannical at one point or another. It seems to be its inherent nature. And so
it's inherently evil. That goes back to what we were talking about intelligence agencies, is that their very nature is evil.
Hey, we're running out of time.
So it's just all about degrees. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, brother, it's been awesome talking to you. Please tell everybody how to follow you.
If you can spell it, you can follow me at Sean Witzman on X, SHAWNWITZEMANN. And I'm not as active there as I used to be. I know I need to update a few of my articles at 1776returns.com.
You can also find, there you go, 1776returns.com. We'll talk again. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, brother, and God bless. Take care.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Be right back after this break. God bless.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have God for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
This is Stuart Rhodes filling in on Alex Jones for the Alex Jones Show on InfoWars. It's an honor to be here. And today I'm talking to some of my favorite people. And next one up is Suzanne Monk, who was one of the OG J6 advocates. And she's really, I got to thank her publicly for my being here, frankly. I wouldn't be here today. I'd still be in prison on an 18-year sentence right along with Enrique Tarrio. And all the other guys have been riding Joe Biggs 17 years. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for Suzanne. She wrote the book, How to Pardon the J6ers, and she really was behind the campaign to make that something that President Trump felt compelled to promise and then follow through on. So I want to welcome Suzanne to the show. How are you doing, Suzanne?
I'm doing good. And Stuart, thank you for saying that. And, you know, you guys' justice and you guys' freedom was such a part of my goal. You know, I spent all of the 4 months with the Proud Boys in the trial there, and I didn't get a chance to pop in and see you guys' trial, but, you know, I spent the time with my guys. I was talking with Zach in 2023 in the fall, and, you know, we were all looking for Donald Trump to be the salvation because we knew the courts were not going to give us that justice, and it frightened me that Trump might not be able to live up to that promise, that he might, you know, promise more than he was able to live up to, so I made the commitment to give him every absolute thing he needed throughout 2024, the J6 defendants database, all of the information he needed, and to give him the public mandate and the pressure. We made an election issue. At the time of the election, 68% of all likely voters in the country believed that the January 6ers should get pardoned. So we did great work, and it was people like David Summerall and Tim Rivers at the American Gulag Chronicles and Marie Goodwin and so many other activists, you know, yeah. Mama Mickey down at Freedom Corner that made it possible. So yeah. It was my honor. It was my honor to serve you guys, and it's really my blessing to see you guys free.
Thank you. And the reason why I brought you on is that exactly, that you were successful in, you call it pressuring President Trump, focusing President Trump on something that was a bedrock necessity, is justice for the J6ers. Now, there's still 12 of us who are still waiting for pardons. I'm going to have a chance at Mar-a-Lago. President Trump will be there on Friday. I hope I get a chance to shake his hand, you know, and sincerely thank him for setting me free, but then asking him to go ahead and pardon the other 12. And I want to list their names real quick. There are myself, these are 8 Oath Keepers, David Morshall, Joseph Hackett, Joe Big, Jessica Watkins, Kelly Meggs, Robert Minuta, Ed Vallejo, and then there are 4 Proud Boys, Joe Biggs, Zach Real, Dominic Pozzola, Ethan Nordine. So they still need pardons, and we'll talk about that some more in a minute. But the big picture point is that the base, and with you as a leader in that effort, were able to convince Trump to do the right thing, despite all of his advisors around him who were telling him not to. He had people in his campaign for 2024 telling him this, you know, you shouldn't do this, this is a mistake. And he didn't listen to them. Instead, he listened to you. And that's what I want to talk about, is how do we get President Trump back on track with his purpose? You know, he was saved by God in Butler, Pennsylvania for a reason. And it wasn't to make war on Iran or have foreign trade deals or, you know, anything else. It was to take down the demonic pedophiles of the deep state. I believe that's why he was saved by God, was to take down the deep state and to restore our republic. What say you? And how do we do that? How do we get him back on track?
Well, let me just correct you on one thing. He didn't listen to Suzanne Monk. Suzanne Monk is, you know, one little ant that knows how to move a rubber tree plant or two. He listened
to the American people. That's why I want you to tell us. Tell us how to do it.
He listened to the American people. He listened to that voter mandate. He listened to the massive amount of attention and pressure that the voters were giving him. And one of the problems we are having right now with President Trump is we are allowing the lobbyists, we are allowing those big money folks to be around him. This Trust Trump movement that we have had is the absolute opposite. It is the nail in our coffin.
What do you mean? The Trust Trump movement? What do you mean by that?
This idea where you are not going to give President Trump the pressure, the attention, the mandate to do the things that he promised. We, the people, need to be calling the White House every single day demanding that those promises get met. That is the engagement. That is how we, the people, lobby the President of the United States. We use our voice. We're not AIPAC. We're not CARE.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com. And I salute you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. Stuart Rhodes filling in. I want to make sure you know that InfoWars is having a really awesome sale that ends tomorrow night, the March Mega Sale, up to 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. You can get NAD Plus, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, Methylene Blue, tinctures and capsules. And you can also get iodine, 50% off for VIPs, 25% off for everyone else. And please text InfoWars, all in one word, to 342581. That's 342581. Just text that with InfoWars to get a free methylene blue tincture with the purchase of any other product. That deal ends tonight. Please support the Alex Jones fight at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we were talking to Suzanne Monk. Suzanne, I somehow missed the music for the break. So you were talking about what you're...
I get excited when we talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so we have got to... The base... And of course, you're correct. It is the base. And I've always said that President Trump simply rode a wave that already existed into the White House. You call it MAGA, America First. You can call it the hardcore patriots, the Tea Party movement. It's all the same wave of Americans that want to put this country first. How do we get him to refocus on that mission?
First thing we got to do is we got to realize that we have got to engage this president, and we have got to be telling him what, reminding him the promises, encouraging him when he is living up to those promises, but critiquing him when he is not living up to those promises, giving that public pressure. We all have to understand right now, every day, all day, lobbyists are in his ear. His chief of staff is a lobbyist. Susie Wiles, lobbyist for Qatar, lobbyist for the nation of Venezuela, former campaign worker for Benjamin Netanyahu. She's in his ear constantly. All of these big people.
And for
with
Big Pharma, right?
Wasn't she and also? Big Pharma, right. Bayer, all of these, Thomas Massey has been calling that out. So, that is the interest that is in his ear constantly, constantly, constantly. And when we sit back and go, give them time, just trust Trump, he's got it. What we're actually doing is we're abandoning him. I feel he's in basically a hostage situation with these globalist agendas. And if we are not in there, we, the American people, are not providing him the mandate, that pressure to do the right thing, what we expected, he is left to their whim and their devices. So
that's
we
a good
have
way
got
to put
to
it. So he's a hostage.
Correct.
And
correct.
Does he have Stockholm syndrome? Is that what's going on? He's starting to think that these are really his friends when they're not really his friends. Right.
Because he's in that echo chamber. And I can tell you right now, calling the White House does make a difference. 202-456-1111. You can call Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let them know. Look, if you're for the war, go ahead and call for that. If you're against the war, go ahead and call for that. What I want people to do is engage this president and have the citizens re-engage what they feel. Because when he was on Twitter, when he was on X back in that first term, there was direct citizen engagement. That is how we got the president that knew he was the torchbearer of MAGA, not the king of MAGA.
So how do you reach
him? Now he's got Susie and the neocons talking in his ears, and he can't hear our voice. We have to make our voice heard by Trump again.
So he was on X reading all of our comments back to him back then, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or on True Social. But that's
much more than now. There was much more engagement than there is in this second term, and it's because he's been isolated deliberately, and we know why. The deep state needs to control him. They need to make sure he doesn't do what he's put there. What we, the people, put him there.
That's good news.
Him there to do.
That's good news. Yeah. The fact that they have to isolate him and separate him from being able to read our comments, and he only watches Fox News apparently.
Correct.
That shows us that they're afraid of him interacting with the base. that we can still
influence. They're afraid of what happened on January 20th, Inauguration Day. They're afraid that we, the people, will have worked hard enough to let him know what we expect, and we will be standing there with receipts and with news cameras demanding that he does the things he needs. They are afraid that we are going to engage him in a supportive manner, just like we did on that day. We were so happy to see him inaugurated, but we were there right there to say, okay, President Trump, day one is what you said, and we're here. We are trusting in your promise so much. We're going to stand in the freezing cold at 80 different jails across the country to make sure that we're ready for your promise. That's the kind of pressure we, the people, need to be putting on him on every single issue. And because we're not doing that, we are not getting the results.
So what's your advice, since you've been there and done that, you and all the other warriors or J6ers, what's your advice now in the current environment of how to put that positive pressure on him?
Well, one, we do need to start calling the White House on a regular basis, and it does not take much to, as I say, melt the phones, where you actually give them more call volume than they're able to manage. And when we were working to get the additional J6ers free, and I know there are even still a few that, you know, Ed Kelly right now still needs an additional pardon, still sitting in jail for DOJ and FBI. So
he just broke up. She said Ed Kelly is still in jail. It's under a life sentence, under a supposed plot to murder the FBI agents involved in his investigation. Is that what it was?
The exact same FBI agents and the exact same prosecutors operated both corrupt cases. And as we know, that J6 case was systemic denial of rights.
Absolutely.
And the same tactics were used by the same criminal prosecutors and criminal FBI agents. Violations of 18 U.S.C. 241, violation of deprivation of rights under the color of law. They committed crimes in that courtroom, and they committed crimes in the courtroom again. President Trump needs to issue that second pardon for Edward Kelly. You guys need the pardon. Restitution needs to be served. There are still J6ers who are serving probation. I don't understand how that didn't get pardoned out in the sentence, but that is still the case. There are a lot of problems. And in the states, they are reinitiating lawfare on all sorts of J6ers in any way possible, including J6 attorneys. So,
just real quick,
the battle is
folks,
still present.
How do folks follow what's going on with that? They should follow you on X?
Yeah, follow me, follow J6 Patriot News, follow Stop Hate, definitely keep up with Stop Hate. Stuart, they should obviously follow you, follow Enrique, follow, the War Boys Studios. They'll keep you up on a lot of that. You know, the community is still very present and still very much fighting for this.
And what's your X handle?
My ex handle is at Trumpertarian. So,
Trumpertarian. Okay.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a little thorn in Trump's side, I think, for the next little while.
Don't
until
change
we get
it.
Him to,
keep that.
I do not. I intend to make sure I remind him that I spent 10 years of my life supporting him. I made sure that he was living up to those promises. That's a service to President Trump to make sure that he lived up to those promises. I want to continue to do that, and I think we the people need to join in and make sure we give Trump that service to put him in the right again. He's in the wrong right now. This war is wrong. How he's engaging with Israel is wrong. We need to get the foreign lobbying out of our country, that foreign influence, and that's what I'm going to be working on going forward.
Now, on that, you had the J6 pack. So tell us.
J6 Pardon Project. Yeah. Patriot Action Pack was the name of my pack that I've ran. Since 2017, we ran the J6 Pardon Project. We ran Operation Yellow Ribbon before that, which dropped off copies of the, American Gulag Chronicles, to every member, all 535 members of Congress. That was what really changed that narrative in Congress, from thinking you're all insurrectionists to actually having members of Congress who are willing to fight for you. Even now, we just went over and provided new copies of the trilogy to all of the members of the J6 subcommittee who are still working on that, because they need to continue to be informed. We need to be litigating that lawfare, that went on in the courts. That's on court record. We can talk about the pipe bomber and all of this. I call J6 the grassy knoll of our time, but that lawfare is on court record, and so we should be prosecuting that. We're pushing those members to push forward for those criminal referrals of those prosecutors and those judges.
So that's part of the strategy, is to put pressure on members of Congress, make them aware of the truth so they can't claim ignorance, and put pressure on them to support what you want President Trump to do.
Well, and that's a good thing you mentioned it, because we're running something I'm calling Operation No Nuke. Back in 2023, President Biden was Operation No Nuke. That is correct. Back in 2023, President Biden was using the nuclear war rhetoric to push back against Russia. It was very dangerous. It was really something that the American military should never be threatening. And so as a Republican, I called, and several of us did, every Democrat member of Congress, because obviously he is on the list of the Republicans, we called every Democrat member of Congress and asked them to tell him to tone it down.
Right.
And in fact, 2 weeks later, I'm sure it's not just because of us. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure. You know, there's a lot of people who do not believe in nuclear war and the use of nuclear weapons. So, you know, they did in fact do that, and he did in fact tone it down. And I think it's time to do that again. So we're going to be calling members of Congress. I'm encouraging everyone to reach out to your member of Congress and tell them to use their pressure, use their leverage to get Donald Trump to tone down this nuclear war rhetoric. He's walking the line. He's never saying he's going to maybe drop. He doesn't say I'm dropping a nuke. But when you say you're going to turn, you can turn Iran into a country that cannot be used ever again. We all know what you're saying, sir. And it's not appropriate. Right. And it's escalating
the situation in very dangerous ways. Here's one quote from Trump, President Trump. We could take Iran out this afternoon. We could take them out in an hour. They'd never be able to build their country back. That's what you're talking about, right? Okay.
Yeah, that we all know what that quote means. There's only one weapon in the world that can actually do that, and it's a nuclear bomb.
Okay.
And so we are not trying to escalate this conflict into a nuclear conflict, and to have President Trump, just like President Biden, which is so unfortunate, use that as a tool to rattle the saber is unacceptable. So we want to use the pressure of Congress to get him to calm it down.
So back to these strategies. If we want President Trump to get back on track to the Make America Great Again, America First, I mean, the first 3 months were fantastic, 3 or 4 months with Doge. We want to get him back on track. You advocate burning up the White House phone lines, calling members of Congress, burning up their phone lines. And I'll tell you, that does work. When I worked for Congressman Ron Paul in Congress 1998-99, he had started the Liberty Committee, and that was the strategy of the Liberty Committee, was to use patriots in every district of Congress, because congressmen only care about people from their own district. So if you your congressman, you burn up, whether they're Democrat or Republican, you burn up their phone lines with what you want them to do. All they know is they're getting 100 calls a day. They don't know if that's the tip of a really big iceberg. 40.
Yeah.
They don't
know. It's more like 40. Here's the math that they do in Congress. For every one person who actually calls, they believe 1,000 people back home believe that.
Yeah.
So if 10 people call, it's 10,000. If 20 people call, it's 20,000. About 40 calls will totally wreck their phone call structure and make that poor little intern just be answering calls all day. Mm-hmm. That certainly gets the attention. So that's about the melting point, right? We like to call it. It's pretty easy to reach. We the people have far, far, far more power than we ever believe we do.
And that's only because when it comes right down to it, every politician, no matter what their rhetoric, cares about one thing, re-election. Mm-hmm. They're worried that if their own constituents, where they live, that they're going to have to rely on, at least in part, even if the corrupt election system will otherwise win it for them, they're still worried about the public pressure from their own electorate. Yeah. So burn their phones up, and not just the D.C. phone line, also their district phone, too.
Yes, and those are sometimes easier to even get through because, you know, they have, you know, smaller staff there. And, you know, you can always check the congressional schedule to find out if they're at home or if they're up in Congress. You can also call the committees, you know, things like the Oversight Committee, things like, you know, the Judiciary Committee. They have smaller staffs as well, and we're going to be doing some direct pressure calls to action on some of those committees on some of these issues going forward, particularly trying to get these foreign lobbying groups, these groups that lobby for foreign interests like AIPAC, like CARE. They're domestic funded, but that is a loophole that the foreign governments use to be manipulate our government. We need to get that out of our system. It's obviously exploiting the whole country into something the American people do not want.
Yeah. So your representative winds up working for AIPAC or CARE, rather than for you, his constituents. You're starting a new PAC about that. What's it called?
We're gonna rebrand Patriot Action PAC because I think we have come to a point where we need to focus on America as a unit. America first, America only. And so we are going to rename our PAC just U.S. PAC. And our focus is going to be removing foreign influence from our system, from our government system. And we're going to start with AIPAC and we're going to start with CARE. We're going to start with the CCP. And I'm keeping my eye on Russia too. All of those are Qatar. All of those are countries that have had direct and constant influence. But look, the reason we're all starting with AIPAC is we know they are the biggest one. The math, it shows. They are the most influential.
Well, they're the biggest ones out in the open. I would say the CCP behind the scenes also bought a lot of members of Congress. I'm sure.
100%. Yeah. And this is why we have to keep our focus not just on one group, but on foreign money as a whole. There are many groups that are tracking, like track AIPAC. They will show you who takes money from that group, other groups as well. None of that should be legal. And we do have, Just Us PAC is going to be working on some legislation suggestions that will amend the Foreign Lobbying Registration Act to require these proxy groups register, and also to just go further to ban foreign lobbying in Congress altogether. We should not have foreign interests able to pay money to influence the United States. We are a citizen governance. We are self-governed.
That should be a no-brainer.
Self-governed if foreigners are paying to influence it. It's
right.
Insane.
That should be a no-brainer. But before, we get legislation passed through Congress, we could still burn their phones up and say, if you are taking AIPAC money, you need to stop now and pledge never to do it again. Of course, while we're at it, we should be running patriots against them and purging them out in the primaries where we can.
But we have a real opportunity right now to really impact them greatly because the midterms are right upon us. And so we as the citizens can get in and talk to those candidates. They're running around doing those meet and greets, doing those opportunities where it's easy for you to get in front of them and say, we want you to pledge no money from foreign interests, no money from CARE, AIPAC, CCP, any of these foreign interests. We want you to pledge to push legislation that will get those foreign interests out of our legislation, out of Congress.
So let's take
so we can get in right now and really push the narrative toward that. That's how we did it with J6. We made it an election issue and we made more and more candidates come out and say, I support J6. I support the J6ers getting pardoned. That's how we moved the whole narrative off of shouldn't they get pardoned to some or all, and you saw what the result was.
You've got 12 of us left. So for the folks that live in the districts where us 12 reside, like I live in the Hill Country down there, you can go to your local rep when he's running for whatever office, if he's your rep still sitting in Congress, who has a chance to advocate for a J6er who needs a pardon, who still needs a pardon, like one of us 12, or Tina Peters being freed. I mean, everyone in the country should be pressing their representative about Tina Peters. Support President Trump and encourage President Trump in freeing her as a material witness, for example. So when they're at a candidate's town hall, whatever they're running for, you go, like Chip Roy right now is my congressman. He's now running for state level office in Texas. So folks can go and pressure him to do the right thing when it comes to all of this, all these issues. But you're saying no matter what the issue is, go in front of them at the town halls and hold their feet to the fire and doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm putting pressure on President
Democrat
Trump.
Democrat or Republican, let me say this. So it's so important, especially right now when we have this president in office, you're probably going to find Democrat representatives willing to push back against him and give him a little leverage, a little what's what because of that. Use that leverage.
He's not going to care about that. But what he will care about.
My point is don't stand down because your representative is a Democrat. Don't do that. We went to every single office. We've had great conversations in Jasmine Crockett's office and Eric Swalwell's office. These are people who hate us, but we get in there and we still bend that narrative and we still shape the staffers. And it's really the staff that's running these individuals. Yeah. These figureheads of Congress members are a fraction of the process. Getting into the staff is really, and sharing that dialogue. Don't be afraid of that is what I'm saying. And frankly, we should be pressuring. I understand the governor of Colorado is a Democrat. I don't care. We should be calling the governor, lieutenant governor of Colorado every single day with this message. Tina Peters is a political prisoner of the state of Colorado. And until she is released, these calls will continue. And I can tell you, it would be so easy to give him to make it very uncomfortable, politically, patriotically, citizen based. To make it very uncomfortable for Colorado to continue to hold Tina Peters. The federal government is doing their part to put that pressure to get that legal.
I don't think so.
I think President Trump should just go get her. That whistleblower thing. They need to bring, but it's a two-form system, right? Yeah. Colorado is always going to push back against the federal government unless it's uncomfortable for them to not push back. We, the people, have to get involved on every level. In these fights, we can't stand aside and let the president and the lobbyists and the DOJ and the deep state and the blue states fight it out by themselves. We
can't. Todd Blanche continue to be what he is.
Right.
So, okay, agreed. I agree 100%. We should push on every level of government. We should push on the Colorado legislature, push on the, on the prosecutors who put her in prison, push on the governor. Yeah. But we should also push President Trump. It's not the case 100%. He's doing all he could, because he could just go get her, like Ivan Reichlin and I have been saying for months now, as a material witness, just go rescue her. That's what he should be doing. So burn the phone lines up at the White House too, Americans, for Tina Peters. Free Tina Peters, there's no excuse. But you're right. Do me a favor. Do you have this written out, like written advice to people of how to do all this?
I want you guys to follow my Twitter handle. As we form, just us pack and the website, we'll be, you know, doing a newsletter so people can get those calls to action on a regular basis.
We should co-author like a lessons learned how to on how to do this.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Or
it's
you write it.
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science. But it'd be nice to have that out for people to see.
I'm nobody special. I'm just really committed and I'm really dedicated. These techniques are things that anybody can use. Any group of Americans can use. Frankly, you know, folks on the left have done it better than we have in many cases. We need to just step up and we need to reach across the aisle. You guys, there are a lot of people in that independent category. In that not really happy with their totally communist
Democrat Party. There's a whole bunch that crossed over and voted for Trump.
They want the same things we do.
Right.
So don't be afraid of that.
Excellent. Well, you write it up. Just write up your, like a bullet point of here's what you do to put pressure on Congress critters or whoever else. You put that out and I'll help promote it. Well, Suzanne, so last thing you want to tell folks is follow you on X at Trumpertarian. Yeah. And they can also go to patriotactionpack.wixsite.
Yeah, Wix site. We're going to link the new domain, but that is where the J6 Pardon Project is archived. And you can read the book. You can see exactly what we did. We didn't change anything from the website. We've left it just how we had it. I'm very proud of the work that we did. It was a successful project. And I think we can have more success with getting this president to follow what the base elected him to do if we just put the work in.
Amen. Don't give up. And condolences on the loss of your husband.
Thank you so much, Stuart. So much appreciated.
God bless. All right, folks.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow grass fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. We have a new product in at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy Ultra Methylene Blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
This is Stuart Rose filling in for Alex Jones today, having a great time talking to my good friend Suzanne Monk. We're going to keep on going. Suzanne, I want to just, I don't know if you heard earlier my interview with Sean Witzman, another J6er, but I just want to clarify something up right out of the gate. My personal background, my mother's side of the family were from Mexico originally. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother emigrated from Mexico. He fought in the Mexican Revolution with Pancho Villa, of all people. But then when he realized that revolution turned into yet another dictatorship, as too often happens in Mexico, him and my great-grandmother came north for liberty, and they became Americans. And the ethos back then was that you assimilate. So all their sons, my great uncles that were old enough to fight, fought as infantry across the Pacific, island hopping from island to island. And then my mother, who did not even meet her own father, he was killed in World War II. He was a B-17 crewman. She was bilingual, but raised us. She raised my sisters and I. I'm a quarter Mexican. But she raised us to be English only. She refused to teach us Spanish, and I wish she had not done that. It would have been useful. I'd have had half of the hemisphere, you know, the western half of the world, licked when it came to languages. But she did that because the ethos was to assimilate back then. But the ethos now is not to assimilate. They're being encouraged. Every immigrant that comes into the United States is being encouraged by the left to not assimilate, to not learn our language, to not become Americans, in fact, to hate America, that America is intrinsically evil and deserves to be conquered, whether it's the Reconquista for the, you know, the Hispanic supremacists, or whether it's Islam being encouraged to not assimilate and assist the Marxists, the Red-Green Alliance, to take down the America and take down the West. That's my problem with immigration. So until we fix that, that's why I said what I said when I was talking to Sean. His uncle, I believe it was his uncle, had been a Muslim immigrant into America or into the West and loved the West. And so there are exceptions to that rule, but the problem is that's not the norm now. That's why I'm a hardcore America only. And if I had to make a choice, I'd say deport them all, everybody. And then we can figure it out after that.
Yeah, and we need to, you know, we need to understand that, you know, we cannot have communities of any kind running on their own laws. It's not just, you know, the Islamic community. Oh, we do see communities. They have their own police, but it's the same thing with the, you know, Orthodox Jewish community, with the Mormon community out in the West. They create enclaves where they choose to impose their laws on their own people. And that's not how we're, you know, this is where we have these pockets of criminal activity that are, you know, across the board. In all of those settings, we see, women not being, you know, marriage rights not being protected, women not being protected in the marriage. It's very difficult when you isolate communities to protect women and children. And that's what we see a lot of the problems with right now, with the pedophile rings that we see going on, with all of the sex trafficking and frankly, with a culture of that. So yes, we need to deport those folks. I agree. But we also need to assimilate, even if you're here in the United States. You know, even the Amish have found a way to isolate themselves, but yet engage. You know, they all came out and voted. They're not asking for anything. They're not engaging. They're not living off the welfare systems like many of these other groups are. And that's just not acceptable. I don't want to be, if you want to go live off the grid, that's on you, but please don't make me pay for it.
Right. And it's one thing to say they're going to live out their religious convictions on a covenant community or whatever. But not what Islam is. It's not, oh, please leave us alone. We're just going to live in our enclave. No, it's we're going to do, you know, loudspeaker public calls to prayer, which when I was in prison, they would do that. They would step out of their cell and they, as loud as they could, they'd do the prayer call. And that's marking territory. It just is. It's marking territory.
And we see the same thing, you know, in New York with, you know, some of the, you know, Hasidic communities. We see the same thing out, you know, in Utah with some of the Mormon communities. And there's a lot of political influence there that those communities exert over the government and utilize the services. That's really one of the problems. We have such massive welfare services that we have these organizations that are actually paying for to undermine American culture and American values.
Like the Somalians in Minnesota, right?
With our tax dollars. And that's got to stop. That is absolutely insane. And, you know, it is one thing to live your free life on your own dime. It is a whole other thing.
That brings up Tommy Robinson. So, in fact, the Stay Awake America Tour, I'm speaking on the 21st. They're having an event the 20th and 21st of March this month in St. Lucie, in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You go to stayawakeamerica.com. You can check that out. But Tommy Robinson's going to be a guest speaker along with myself. Enrique Tarrio is going to be there on the 21st. So if you're anywhere near Florida and want to come meet us, you know, J6 stalwarts, and meet Tommy Robinson, come to the Stay Awake America Tour event on March 21st in St. Lucie, Port St. Lucie, Florida. Hope I didn't screw that up. Port St. Lucie. There it is.
I look forward to meeting him.
What's that, ma'am?
Yeah, no, Tommy was such a warrior back in the COVID days too. There were so many of us that have been in this fight for a long time. You know, we pushed back against those mandates. I know Tommy was a huge voice for that. That's where a lot of, you know, the pressure he's gotten on himself has come from, and not on himself by a fascist government. And our government is behaving in fascist ways too. It behaved fascist against all of you J6ers. And, frankly continues to do so. They're now knocking on the doors. The FBI is still knocking on the doors. Of folks, the FBI is knocking on the doors of folks who oppose Israel right now and asking them about their social media posts. We still have these measures that are trying to control speech.
We're going the same way of England. That's the goal. Obviously the goal, and it's going to come through right now. It's through the lens of being, if you're an anti-Semite, they're going to take away your free speech. Like we had Pam Bondi, which was really bizarre, after Charlie Kirk was shot at some press conference she was giving, talking about oh, it's all the anti-Israel rhetoric on the college campuses must be stopped. So what's it got to do with Charlie Kirk's death? So, and then, right. And then she said, you know, that's not free speech. Hey, I'm paid to break it to you, Pam. I don't know what law school you went to, but all speech is protected speech. Unless it actually is criminal.
It is so critical. Yeah. It is so critical that we protect all speech. And that's one of the reasons that they have divided us up into this tribal mentality, left and right. You know, that's why they pay for the sedition hunters. They pay to build Antifa. So they get that violent interaction so that we feel we can never communicate with the other side. They're evil. They're unbearable. And because of that, we continue to have this phenomenon where we can never break through the actual corruption, right? And so they can use that corruption on either side. And this is what we talked about with the Democrats on the subcommittee. They're going to use the DOJ as a weapon. They will use it against your liberal voters just as well as they used it against Trump's conservative voters. It will continue to happen until we purge the criminals in the DOJ that do criminal lawfare behavior.
But the DOJ, here's the problem, whether it's under a Democrat or under a Trump, under Trump, the DOJ works for the deep state, just like the FBI and the CIA. So those members of Congress, maybe with a few exceptions, don't really care. They don't care. They don't care about any of their own constituents. What they might care about is being run out of office. That's about it.
Well, and they might care if their intern can't do anything but answer a phone every single day for 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row. They start to care when you make them care.
Sounds good.
And that's the point.
They don't care.
No, Congress doesn't do anything. They are useless. They're the most useless group of people we have on earth. But if you make them care, if you engage, that's why lobbying is such a big business, because it is effective to pressure them. It does get results. They wouldn't spend billions and trillions of dollars doing it if it didn't get results.
Right.
So what we've all just got to accept that it's not the dollar amount. I mean, look, I can't send Congressman Massey on an all expenses paid trip to Israel to go kiss the wall, but I don't think he wants that anyway.
No.
What I can do is make sure that he gets lots of phone calls when he does the right thing and he gets that support. I can make sure that his constituents are happy to get those donation emails. They have to continue to raise funds throughout the time.
Well, you know what's interesting?
It's not just that vote. It's whether or not you're willing to send them $5 or receive their email. That access to you is a vital value. It's a transactional value that you can exchange for leverage against your elected officials. You need to be using that access to yourself as leverage against your politicians.
Well, I'll say this. With a man like Massey, just as it was for Ron Paul, who I was honored to work for, with men like that, who are men of principle, they don't really care if you give money or not. But they got money from across
the... But they need it nonetheless.
Sure.
They need it nonetheless.
And they got
support,
it.
That validation provide. It's just like when you have a toddler, you know, when you have a kid in school, telling them what a good job. That gold star on the paper gets that extra effort the next time they want another gold star. It's Congress too. Those little gold stars of, hey, I love what you said. I love what you did on this vote. I love that you're fighting for this mission. Call them when they do good things. You will get more good things. That's actually the most effective way to move a Congress member, is push them in a direction they're already going. It's much harder to push them in a direction they don't want to go. So pushing them in the direction that they're doing good things will get you a much better Congress member.
Like when they voted in favor of releasing the Epstein files, even though it was kind of screwed up, you know, the law had all kinds of loopholes in it. But my point was that Ron Paul, like Massey now, he got donations from all over the country, because everyone in the country looked at their own rep and said, our rep's a piece of crap, who's an oath breaker, not following the Constitution. But that one guy from Texas is, I'm going to send him money. And now it's Massey.
Right.
So, and I think that's fantastic. Because the machine.
Well, and that is a way that you can get influence over Congress members that aren't your Congress member, by engaging them, by becoming someone who is on their donor email list, that gets those emails, that are interacting with the campaign. You, in any state, can still have a voice and have your voice heard by these warriors in Congress. So we can be using these tough guys. You're not stuck with the bad, lame ones you have. You can reach out to the other ones, and that's one of the ways that you can do it.
Amen. But we need more Masseys.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah, a lot more.
I'm not going to out this guy just yet, but I happen to be at an event here in Texas and ran into a long-time conservative I've known for, like, since back in the day of when I founded Oath Keepers. And I said, hey, do you think we're going to get more Thomas Massey's or more Ron Paul's? And he's like, I hope not. They don't get anything done. We need people in there that are going to, you know, work as a team and all this kind of stuff. I look at this guy like, this is like Invasion of Body Snatchers. Where'd this guy go that I knew before? Now he sounds like a rhino. We don't. We need more Massey's. We need more Marjorie Greens. We need more Ron Paul's, Rand Paul's. We need more that are willing to say no to the agenda and call it
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Sometimes getting nothing done is getting everything done.
Yeah.
If we had not gotten done sending money to Ukraine, if we had not gotten done these big omnibus bills, if we had not, they're robbing us blind. They're corrupting our laws by getting too much done. This is why I actually love when they go on shutdown because they can't ruin anything. Unfortunately, they shut down agencies that we need to continue to function, and they do that on purpose to take the pressure on we the
people. I don't need
to make
fly.
The pressure on we the people. They are trying to make us angry at the process. That's all a manipulated process. They don't need to do that ever. They're doing that to pit us against each other.
Yeah. So they do the shutdown because they can say, oh, my constituents, I had no choice. Otherwise, the veterans wouldn't get their disability checks. Or otherwise, planes will fall out of the sky or whatever their excuse is.
Ron
Paul be like, I don't care. No, the answer is no.
That's why they have the big bill that's named, you know, let's save all the puppies. And then in there is funds for, you know, Ukraine, right? That's how they do that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, they expect us not to read and they'll get a lot of our emotions all involved. And that's one of the reasons getting directly involved, getting those emails from the different, from your candidates, from your campaign, from different Congress members, because then you're going to get that insider info. They're going to start to tell you when votes are coming up, when they have bills that are actually pushing. You're going to see more of that insider, play go on in Congress. And the meat grinder is where the changes can be made. Once a bill is already ready to be voted on or not voted on, we have very little say. But we the people can have far more engagement, far more, ability to move Congress if we're moving it far before the legislative process occurs. And frankly, legislation is not the most effective way Congress members can be used. Their voice, their access to media, their microphone is far more useful than their ability to create legislation. They can amplify an issue and get pressure on it and make it happen more than we can because they just have that access. So getting them to parrot what you need them to talk about, that's actually as effective as getting them to try to pass a bill.
Like the other day when I was at two events, I spoke to Chip Roy in person after one candidate event. He's running for attorney general. And then I also spoke at another event, Fredericksburg Tea Party, and spoke to his other rep that was there that day. So, for example, I'm going to encourage them to, you know, approach the White House and find out why have I not got a pardon yet. I'm going to give my pardon application. So I would encourage all the other J6ers out there who still need a pardon, do the same thing. Go talk to your member of Congress, whether they're running for office right now or not, and say, hey, you know, a letter from you, an inquiry from a congressman has more weight than an inquiry from a citizen. You know, like we have a better chance.
Yeah, I'm going to teach everybody something really important about politics because in normal society, nagging somebody too much, it's you think they're going to not do what you want. They're going to cut you off. They won't want to talk to you.
If you're negative, you mean.
They explain to you in politics, it is the exact opposite. The squeaky wheel gets the grease in politics. The person who nags and nags and nags and nags and nags, eventually that Congress member, that representative is going to want to do what you want them to just to make you go away. And it is very different. Do not get that sentiment that you can nag too much, that you cannot.
But do you do it in a positive way or a negative way? Or just depend on the issue?
I think a little bit of both sometimes. Okay. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we need the spice, sometimes we need the sugar. You know, but you want to do is do it in a way that's respectful, responsible, and consistent. Get the emails of that staffer, get the emails so that you can go back and forth. When you send them something, when you say, hey, I want you to do this, I would like to hear back from the Congress member what they plan to do. Demand a response. You know, that back and forth engagement is what gives real long-term leverage. It's not just showing up in the office. There's so many lobbying groups. They spend so much money matching T-shirts, and everybody shows up, and they walk around the halls. We see them all the time here in Congress. But, you know, the Congress member shows up. They give you a little handshake, and nothing changes on those issues. Where the real work gets done is getting the constant interaction with those staffers that can actually push those issues forward, push those issues into the agenda of the Congress member, and push them ultimately into legislation.
Amen. And on that point, we learned that lesson in Ron Paul's office. We get boxes of these petitions, and it's like these preformed petitions. They just mail everywhere, and it's like, that has nowhere near the same weight as the phone call from a constituent saying, "I live in your district. I want you to vote this way." That is more of an impact than a bunch of petitions.
Well, and that's why MPAC is never, you know, paid to have, you know, volunteers to do calls. We do calls to action for regular citizens, and your voice as a regular citizen has way more weight than an organization. I know, because I call Congress all the time and they ask me who I'm with. And if I say I'm just a regular citizen, that attention is so much higher, because they expect lobbying groups to talk to them. They expect them to get called. People get paid to do that. It's a job. They don't pay as much attention. When you have taken time out of your day as a citizen from your work, right? It's costing you money. It's costing you time to make this effort. That is a huge step up when it comes to pressure. And we have far more pressure than the lobbying groups do. We just need to coalesce it.
And it's for the reason you said earlier. They calculate for every phone call they're getting from an average constituent, there's 40 behind them, at least, who feel the same way.
One person equals 1,000 people back home.
Oh, 1 to 1,000. Okay.
1,000.
Right.
Okay. One person calling, 1,000 people back home. That's how the numbers of
the 1 to 1,000 ratio. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, 1 to 1,000. That's why 10 calls is a big deal. 40 calls is a big deal. Why you can actually make a real difference with small.
That's right. You said 40 is, you think 40 is a magic number.
A book club or whatever to call 1 week. You know, you don't have, we all have 40 friends on our Facebook page. You yourself, every one of us can be a citizen activist and put out calls to action to our friends to get things done.
Identify yourself as being from the local book club. Say, I'm just a constituent, and all your friends.
No, just be you. An American. Yeah, gotcha. Just be an American.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. And that's actually tracks with what we learned with the Liberty Committee. You don't say you're with this group or that group. You just say, I'm a constituent. I want you to vote this way. Here's how I feel about this issue. This is a critical issue for me. Boom. That's all you got to do. And you don't got to give them a bunch of long arguments. Just say, hey, I am for or against this bill on liberty grounds, whatever it is, you know, your conviction is boom.
You got to talk to Congress kind of like you talk to like a first grader or something. You don't want to too much explanation, too much confusion. They're not going to understand the assignment. Right. You want it super simple. You know, talk a little slow sometimes. You know, many of these folks are millennials and zillennials, right? They're struggling. So just be patient, but certainly keep it simple. Keep it simple and keep it direct and strong. Don't placate. Don't beg. Don't say please. Right. Demand. You are their boss.
So what would
they work for you?
What would you tell the based America firsters out there? I'm an American Christian nationalist. That's how I identify myself now, in America only, period. That's where I'm at. So what would you tell, I think you're probably in the same boat. So what would you tell all the other America firsters out there? What do you want them to pressure their Congress critter, President Trump, to do? What's your high priority list, real quick?
We need to stop this war. We need to de-escalate the war as quickly as possible. We need to prosecute everyone on the Epstein list. We need to question Israel as to their Mossad program that uses Epstein. This is a grave concern for me. We are actually allying with nations that have blackmail programs that are being used against our own politicians. We need answers for that. We need answers from our own CIA and their involvement in this. We need these immediately, now, like yesterday. We need to stop focusing on whether or not we're going to win the midterms. I don't understand everyone saying this. They steal elections. Elections. Stop worrying about whether or not we can vote our way out of the problem. Pressure your politicians to do the things we need done. That's the only way we're going to ever get out of the problem. Votes or otherwise. We're never going to get the country back. We're never going to get the accountability for election integrity we need if we do not use our leverage to show these politicians that we, the people, are a force to be reckoned with.
Amen. And that's actually, ironically, the only way the Republicans are going to hold on to anything in the midterms is if they get off their rear ends and start getting back on track with America First. So
yeah, make Trump do that. Calling Trump, calling the White House, 202-456-1111, sending out emails, whitehouse.gov, putting pressure on Trump to do what the base has wanted, to live up to those base promises. Agenda 47, they took it off the website. We all still have copies. We know what you promised, Mr. Trump. We need to help him to live up to those promises so that the base can rally around him again. Right now, the country needs to be rallying around this president, but he's doing the wrong thing. And until he does the right thing, we can't rally around him. So we need to bring our country together. But the first thing we need to do is make sure our employee in the White House is doing what we hired him to do.
Which is what? Drain the swamp?
Let's not fight it. It's not fighting war and wars. It's not protecting elite pedophiles. It is not continuing to hire corrupt individuals at the DOJ. It is not continuing to drag out these forms of lawfare. It is not any of these things. It is not continuing to allow foreign influencers to impact our policies. And frankly, it's not continuing to hire lobbyists in his White House. He needs to fire Susie Wiles.
Yeah, absolutely. No, well said. 100%. Everything you said was fantastic. Now, I would add this, though. Right now, the easy button for him to help redeem himself with his own base is to free Tina Peters.
That would make a huge difference.
Maduro in friggin' Venezuela. You can go get Tina Peters out of Colorado as a material witness, put her in the White House as your guest, and have her do a press conference from the Oval Office right there at the Resolute desk. And your 100% base would be on fire. That's what he should do.
100%. And, you know, I will add this, and this is slightly humorous, but it's only so humorous.
We got 30 seconds left.
If President Trump has a real itch to drop a nuke, I think there's a little island out there named Little St. James that could certainly use it. And I think the world would be very grateful to see that as well. So we could turn that into open water, Mr. Trump. And I think the world would appreciate you as well. That earned you some votes as well, sir.
All right. Hey, Suzanne, it was awesome to talk to you again. God bless you. And keep driving on. Let me know I can help you, okay?
We definitely will. We got a country to save.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Honor to be here. God bless America.
Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.